All right, welcome into Armchair Sports Talk. I know for all you people out there that listen to us week to week, yes, this is what we look like. This is the three of us. Don't go live that often. Don't come to you visually, partly because your host has the face for radio. I am your host, Eric Dorsch, welcoming in Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever. We're here. Let's do this.
We're here. Let's do this. And the stat man, Russ Ivanak, who I know he's just salivating over there, getting to go through and see how well we did on our first round of mock draft this week.
Yes, I love that today is the day where you go from, wow, I'm so smart, I know what's going to happen, to, no, that's right, I'm so dumb.
I mean, I have that most days, but I appreciate you thinking this is the only day.
Benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely. You know, honestly, though, the big doubt right now, as I was talking to Jay before the show, before we got this going, big doubt is, where will Aaron Rodgers be by the time they call stop to this first round, Russ?
Oh, the lame answer is probably Green Bay. But God, I hope it's anywhere but the NFC North. I think the most interesting answer would be the 49ers, so that's the one I'm rooting for. Hey, it's a tailor-made team that's ready to go to the playoffs and supposedly looking for a quarterback. And maybe this is what Kyle Shanahan was trying to tell us this whole time when he said there was – five guys he felt good about at three. Maybe it's because one of them was Aaron Rodgers.
That is fair. Okay.
I'm secretly hoping for chaos, which would be the Raiders. Put Gruden and Rodgers together, get him out of our division. Let that marriage happen, because we haven't talked about Gruden, which feels like ever since Hard Knocks. So Gruden does have to rear his very unique head up and grab Rodgers. I want him out of the NFC North. The Rodgers can just go. Like, I tried to figure out where the production was shot for Jeopardy. Like, what state, city, where does that happen? Because he's got to go to that team that plays that close to where it gets shot. And that would just make sense.
By the way, the tweet that says Rodgers' future in Green Bay is in Jeopardy, just perfect. Whoever that person is, you're my new favorite Twitter account.
All 35 times I've seen it. Exactly. It's been wonderful.
But in reality, though, whether, you know, because I know, Jay, you were speculating, maybe Rodgers put this out there. You know, you can't know, like you said, you can't know something's for sale if you don't, you know, if you don't put the ad up. Or maybe this was Green Bay's backdoor way of getting it known. But I texted you guys earlier about this. Like, San Francisco allegedly has offered a king's ransom for this guy to get him back. You have other teams like that. But at the same time, letting people know Rodgers is unhappy, doesn't that almost make it like where Green Bay is now in the position to just say, give us everything we want, because you're not really in a losing situation?
Everyone's got to win. When he pulls a Laramie Tunsil the day of the draft and he becomes the topic, he didn't bong mask anything. Yeah, I get it.
It wasn't quite so interesting.
He found a more appropriate way to make it about him today. I mean, everyone's got to win in the scenario. I mean, Rodgers wants out. Green Bay's going to have to get whatever they can get and then go straight to Love. I mean, that marriage is done. He won't be in Green Bay. I have a really good feeling he will not be playing for the Packers this year.
It's fair. Russ?
The subtext of this that everyone's missing is that we got that report about Tebow trying to come back, and Aaron Rodgers said, no, I remember you. I'm getting traded. I'm taking over the news cycle, Tim. I'm burying you.
Which you walked it perfectly into the next topic, was that of, in all these headlines, one that's actually gathering attention is the fact that Tim Tebow, yes, Heisman Trophy winner, national championship winner, former NFL quarterback, former Major League Baseball outfielder, now has said after all these years, the one thing he wouldn't do, okay, I'm ready to do it. I'll play tight end in this league, trying out for Jacksonville. And I got to be honest, this is just, I can't decide if I'm more excited about maybe seeing Tim Tebow play tight end in the NFL just because he's such a great utility guy. And honestly, it's amazing it took this long. I mean, with the emergence of Taysom Hill, how have we not gotten this sooner? But, or is it, am I more excited to see all the headlines of, wait, he's playing football again? I mean, at this point, I'm just waiting for him to say he kind of wants to be the starting point guard for the LA Lakers or something like that.
I'm here for it. Run him through all four leagues. And bring in soccer, too. Do you have a bowling league on Fridays that he could join? Do it. Tim Tebow versus.
I need like a Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercial where it's like, sometimes you have to go backwards to go forward. And it's going to be like Tebow going all the way back to Florida State, to Florida to play football, and then come back to the NFL. Just like, why? Again, another storyline I didn't need today was Tim frickin' Tebow. I can't stand the man. He's terrible. Don't know him personally, but I hate him.
Don't know him personally.
Jay, what bothers you more, Tim Tebow coming back or the fact that you had to listen to Kings of Leon sing a 12-year-old song?
So I was trying to break down the marketing of this, Russ. They played Somebody Like You to open up. So like if it's the essence of owners saying, I need someone like you, Justin Fields. Somebody. Like, no. Like, that terrible. Terrible. That was a reach. Absolute reach of a song. Yeah, but Kings of Leon probably was very available today. Just gonna say that. I'm hateful. I got some fire in me right now.
Fired up.
Goodell's about to be in his basement. It's gonna be a great evening.
Clock check. We don't have a draft pick yet, right? We're not even technically started, and Justin's already fired up.
Yeah, he's our Goodell is walking out. Goodell is walking out.
Oh, so he's not doing this from his basement today.
No, a lot of booze and oh, there's players there. He's got to be there. He has said he's going to shake hands and hug players as they come out.
That's right.
For this thing. So, where do you guys sit on that? Is it still that point of, hey, maybe we could go with the elbow bump or the fist bump? Like, I don't think you need to be hugging these people.
I think it's dumb, flat out. I think the whole thing's dumb. I don't think they should be in person. I understand, hey, you can be vaccinated and everything, but it's just the optics of it. Like, this is still a pandemic. You want to do your part, show people. Like, hey, Juwan Howard came out and was like, hey, here's my vaccine card.
Yeah.
Count it, right? Like,
right.
Be a part of this. Just the NFL, tone deaf, would be nice if it wasn't once.
Well, it's because every year at this time, this isn't about any of the teams. This is about Roger Goodell. This is his podium to be able – and really, he's at a podium, but this is his moment to be able to be like, ooh, look at me. This is all about me for the first few minutes. I love you booing me. Well, that's fine. We're going to keep booing you. And guess what? They booed every general manager and president and all that throughout the years. You're not new to this. Like, this is a thing, not just for you.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason Bettman gets booed every year.
I'm loving these little, like, cubicles that they've painted for each team. As if, okay, let's usher all the Bengals this way. Oh, no, Bills, come over here. Don't jump through anything. Stay out. But that's not doing shit.
Well, you do have to separate your Lions and your Buffaloes.
That could be dangerous.
It's just, that's nature.
Well, I'm also curious to see, like, are there any, like, little cubicles that are just empty because no one wants to admit they're a fan of this team?
Cleveland Browns.
In Cleveland.
Yes.
Guys, I just stopped working. Can we not say the word cubicle so damn often?
That's true. For those you don't know, Russ still working at home, but he felt the need to remake his cubicle perfectly in a spare room.
Very similar, so much. Actually. Enough of that. I sit against the corner and everything just for that extra feel of the walls closing in on me. It's authenticity, and that's what matters.
I'm going to work in the word cubicle at least five more times today just to see if I can trigger you.
Okay, well, and I'll bring up Tim Tebow, 33-year-old.
Well, look at the time. We got to go.
There we go. Apparently there's a chair. We don't know what the chair is for yet, but there's a chair. Who will be sitting in it? We will find out. But look, it's the NFL draft. We're from Detroit, so we might as well start circling this right now. We look at these Lions. They could do a million different things here. They could take a bunch of positions. We had a poll up earlier today on what position do you kind of see them needing to address, but maybe not dealing with right away. We talked about the potential for a trade, whether that's up, down, how far back would you want them to see it go? And I guess, like, now that we're into this, guys, what for you is the situation you want to see most or fits best?
Ooh. For the Lions specifically, I don't think it's realistic, but I'd love for Denver to absolutely sell the farm to try and move up to get their quarterback. Similar to how Chicago moved up one pick to get Trubisky. And then absolutely paid way too much for him, and it's been awful for him. I would love to see Denver do that and come up to 7 and pay way too damn much to move up 2 spots. I think realistically somewhere in 10 to the 20 range. The real key is, I'd rather a first next year than a second this year as that extra piece. Because, hey, this rebuild is not going to be over this year. So might as well get a higher thing. I can wait. That's fine. I've waited my entire life for the Lions to be good. What's one more year? Exactly.
See, like, I feel like a lot of people have that problem, is that they want the instant gratification now. Like, trade back to 3 more spots and get Micah Parsons and get a first round for next year. great. I would consider that a win. Taking a wide receiver or a tight end for me today is a failure. Well, I want a piece or offensive or defensive.
Pointing to the cup right now, filled with tasty water, is a TJ Hockenson cup. Stay away from the tight end. We don't need – no, Russ, the water is water. This is beer.
Oh, there you go.
the TJ Hockenson thing, officially Jacksonville is on the clock, so we will have that pick as soon as it comes in. Look, tight end is a no. I get Kyle Pitts. And if Kyle Pitts is there, it's tough to talk about because he is such a naturally gifted talent, and you feel like you could use him in so many different ways. But at the end of the day, he's a tight end. Maybe he can play receiver in some capacities. You're not lining him up outside every time as a tight end. Or as a wide receiver. He just can't do it. Wide receiver's an address. We need to look at it. But for me, as I put that tweet out, for me, it's actually kind of – it's the corner thing. You got – we've got Okuda. We don't need – I mean, Surtain's awesome. Those other guys are great. We don't need to double up right now because that's not addressing a need that needs to happen immediately.
No, absolutely. But plus, don't sleep on Arwarie either. Liked him a lot a couple years ago when we drafted him. Dude made a lot of strides the last year. Need a lot of help on the back end, sure. But need a lot more help everywhere else.
Yeah.
A lot of other positions. Switching over, because I see him on the TV about six times, and it's a question that we all knew I was going to ask at some point in this show. Unfortunately, I get to ask it sooner rather than later. Justin, how envious are you of Trevor Lawrence's hair?
Well, coming from the delegation of baldness, very much so. I walked into I have a job from 9 to 5, shocker. I walked out of my truck into a building and effectively took a shower from walking 7 steps because I have no hair to absorb the water. So long story short, I would love some hair. It would keep my shoulders a little more drier, but yeah, thanks. Thanks, guy. Appreciate it.
No problem.
I don't know how to tell you this. Those of us with hair, when we take a shower, it gets on our head too.
Mm-hmm. Right, but when it mists, but hang on, specifically though, when it mists, okay, your hair will grab, it will cling, and it will dry. For me, it's just like I'm working out. I'm just, it's beads of sweat.
That sounds like every perfume commercial I've ever seen. I don't see the downside.
We should do like the swapping thing. You be mm-hmm. bald and you dry.
No, we're not peeing in a fountain together. No, I'm good.
We could.
Only if I get to use turtle wax on there because I want to see that beat up and roll off.
I'm going to go get my Ford University certificate out and hang it on the wall.
Then. Hey, I'll tell you what, you can give me that because I don't have one of those.
That is a tough school to get into, man. Ford University, that not a lot of people go there. Almost only one person went there.
Sure not.
Very prestigious. Very prestigious. It's like Ivy League. It's a step above the Ivy League.
Absolutely. It's like IV as in put an IV in me because you're killing me with this joke.
It's not at all. The guy, look, at the end of the day, he went to U of M, but Ford University just sounds way more prestigious.
Are you anti education, Russ? That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, I'm very pro education. That's why I feel it's important to get it right.
It's a multiple choice, man. You can just fill in C.
Yeah, just pick C, right? If I average.
Look, we're waiting on this. Obviously, Jacksonville still has 6 minutes on the clock. What they're doing with those 6 minutes, I don't know. Maybe they misplaced Trevor Lawrence's number. I can't see that being a possibility. You know what? It actually kind of bothers me. You've had 6 months now to decide what you want to do. If there's any question mark going into this moment, I'm really afraid of your preparation as a franchise. And obviously Jacksonville going 1-15 last year. Preparation's not great anyway, but this to me seems like a slam dunk. You can pick anyone you want. So you might just you don't have to wait to see what everybody else does. Now, realistically, Russ, do you think these guys are actually fielding any call? Is there any call that could be made right now that gets you out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes?
No, absolutely not. Part of the reason Urban Meyer took this job was because Trevor Lawrence was coming, hands down. And I don't mind them taking the time because can you remember the last time we've talked about the number one overall pick so little? Like, that's not where the drama's coming from in this draft. I feel like he's an afterthought and yet somehow the slam dunk number one overall pick. How is this happening? This feels weird to me.
He was the number one pick like 3 years ago, it felt like.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's
yeah.
a problem.
Yeah.
He's been the number one pick every year. Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great question, though. I mean, as I go back on this, no, I don't feel like there's anyone that's just been, yes, no way it's anyone else but this person. There's always speculation. Mm-hmm.
Like even Peyton Manning. Like look back at how his career ended up. But there was a lot of people legitimately arguing for Ryan Leaf there.
Ryan Leaf, yeah, exactly. Well, honestly, I think the one for me, and you guys may not agree with this, I think at the time, I think it had to have, and he ended up falling very far in this, I think it had to have been Matt Leinart. Everybody kind of thought Matt Leinart was going to be the quarterback. Like, there was no question about it. Matt Leinart was going to be the quarterback in the NFL, and he actually ended up falling below Vince Young, who was a great quarterback, had a great national championship. But I think to that one, I was sitting there going, all right, so Matt Leinart's going to go play for the Houston Texans, which he did end up playing for them later in his career. And you just saw him drop. But, yeah, I thought that one was a slam dunk. And so maybe there are question marks here, but you can't see it being anyone but Trevor Lawrence.
No, I'd be absolutely shocked. So I'm rooting for that.
I do hope there are owners that are just like, hey, I'll give you a fourth round pick. Like, I hope like all the buddies, like they're billionaires. They're probably all friends, right? They're like, they have the elusive job that only 30 some odd people get. But like, I hope they are literally just pranking each other.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
What else do you do for 10 minutes?
We have a few minutes left. So let's get our first Sergeant Salty's bet of the week. I believe the odds were something like 10,000 to 1, if not even bigger than that. But Jay, what would the odds have to be for you to put money down against it being Trevor Lawrence?
Oh my God. I don't know you can make it that rich. I'd have to be able to put down like a penny. Like, I'd have to first find a penny in a parking lot, take that penny, drop it off at BOA, and then wager it. It'd have to be astronomical. These things got to be locked in. I mean, I did see a couple bets that was like they had prop bets on when players would or wouldn't go, like the average pick, and they were all half picks, like 7.5, 10.5, 11.5. I was gonna dabble on that today, but I decided not to. But now I'm regretting it. So I'm hoping there's some like live bets that I can literally pick up right now. Like a trade happens, and then bam, I get instant odds of a player if whether he goes in a certain position. Cause I will be betting that while we're here. I've got money set aside for that today. It's a penny. I found it in the parking lot.
Well, that's why he was so specific about that, actually.
Yeah. No, too long odds there. It's Trevor Lawrence. I hope they're just talking. I hope they're watching draft day. Like, that's what's happening right now. They're finishing draft day to then make their draft.
Urban Meyer is doing his best Kevin Costner impression right now.
He's opening up a piece of paper.
He was the GM in Cleveland, so this could be a thing. You might be right about it.
Absolutely not.
Not even remotely. Oh, here we go. It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. The pick is in. You got to assume this is who we think it is.
Quiddipay.
Quiddipay. Now, assuming this is who we think it is, Jay. I have to think he's the lock. One of anyone that's going to go in this draft quarterback wise, that we will see this guy in the huddle week one running this offense.
I mean, they had Gardner Minshew holding down the fort, so yes.
Which, by the way, this is the team of hairy quarterbacks. I mean, those guys both have the flow going.
Just got to bring up the hair again. It's sensitivity, man. You're triggering me.
That was directed more at Russ, but I understand. But Russ, I mean, day one, this
ass.
Day one, this guy has to be in the huddle running this offense. I don't see them being able to justify sitting him down after a 1-15 year with a new coaching change. And this is your guy. There was no move mm-hmm. to be made. This was your guy.
Right. No, it's too much of a statement. Sure, there's a worry about the transition there that he's got to go and do a whole brand new offense and a pro style and all these things and whatnot. But like Justin mentioned earlier, we've been talking about this guy being the number one overall pick for at least 3 years now, probably four, because he was a freshman phenom too. And it's, yeah, no, it's going to be there. It's going to be right away. And to help ease his transition, Tim Tebow will be his starting tight end.
Do we have 2 week notice at this company that we have? Is that how it is here? Is it 2 weeks or is it 2 hours?
No, it's actually Hotel California rules. You can check out anytime, but you can never leave.
Is that an Eagles reference? I found?
It was, yeah. Sorry, Jags.
Select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson. No surprise there.
What?
I don't really see that shocking. You know what I find even more shocking? Trevor Lawrence did not get a call. There was no call between him and the coach. He's been sitting there watching this cast like the rest of us. So I have to question, was this literally a decision that went right down to the final moment? Or has Urban Meyer been on the phone with this guy 3 weeks ago and they've already been talking about what they want to do week one? Because usually you see these guys with a phone in their hand talking beforehand with the coach. So I question if this was a slam dunk decision or if this was literally up until the last moment they were deciding what to do.
This was absolutely they already had this in pocket. This is like my sushi guy, right? He knows I'm coming. I don't got a call. He knows the order. We're good.
Didn't know. Nana went nuts when they got selected. I don't think she knew. I think that they told her about it.
I have a follow-up question to that because I was 99% sure Russ didn't eat sushi. But hey, okay, here we are.
I do. I just I don't always eat the fish ones.
That's fair. Sushi's okay. Justin, I love how in all of that, in all that celebration, you saw Grandma jumping up and down for joy.
You didn't see Nana? Nana was elated, like she just got a scratch-off ticket or something. She had no clue what was happening. She was very excited.
As we move on now, Jets with the number 2 pick again. Kind of seemed like a quarterback decision here. You have to think, especially with the Jets making a trade, 2021 sixth round pick and a 2022 second and fourth round pick they got, sending just recently drafted QB Sam Darnold to the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, another team that up until a few weeks ago, everybody kind of figured was in the running to go after a quarterback here. But it looks to me, quarterback number 2 here, it's really just kind of now become a question of who's your guy. A lot of people think it's going to be Zach Wilson out of BYU. I've heard Justin Fields is in the running, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. So, I mean, at this point, it seems like 1 and 2 are pretty much as locked in as they can be. We'll see what happens with it. But when you look at this Russ curveball here, do we see anyone other than Zach Wilson, or are we kind of Trevor Lawrence 2.0 here?
I think it's a lock. I guess you can never know with the Jets front office. Mm. It's kind of that Knives Out reference that, like, it makes no sense. Compels me, though.
Yes.
Right. That's constantly with them. I think it's a lock, right? It's Zach Wilson. It might be something else, but I think the important thing to point out with this pick is how much Teddy Bridgewater must hate Sam Darnold now for making him lose his job for the second time.
Bridgewater has bounced around a lot over the years. He was actually a former Jet as well. So he's kind of twisting Sam Darnold here.
Well, Sam Darnold forced him out of New York and then forced him out of Carolina.
Yeah.
So when does Sam Darnold end up in Denver? I guess is my question.
Well, no. See, what's gonna happen now is Jameis Winston, who forced him out of being the backup in New Orleans because they took Jameis Winston on, will now go to Denver in a year, and we'll have to redo this whole thing over again with Teddy Bridgewater. But getting away from that, like we said, Trevor Lawrence has been the number one pick in the draft pretty much since he signed his letter of intent at Clemson. But when you look at these two, because I've gone on record as saying, I think Zach Wilson is the best quarterback in this draft. I see a lot in this guy that I think is going to work very well at the next level. Now, granted, it won't be in New York because it's the Jets, and that's not going to do it for you. But when you guys look at this, do you see it as 1A and 1B, or is it legitimately 1A and 1B when we're talking about the talent level and the upside for these two between Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson?
I mean, are we uppercasing and lowercasing these A's and B's? Is that going to be the differential here?
I would do any capitalization you'd like.
Well, I mean, put it in a better way. If you're talking about like the Heisman voting, it's always, this was the closest vote in, you know, Heisman history. You always hear that. Is this really the closest 1 and 2, or are we talking about a guy that won the first overall pick by a substantial number and they're just being nice?
The latter is my opinion. I don't have 1A, 1B. I have Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2. Okay. I see a clear delineation. Zach Wilson, to me, he's New York-style pizza. Some people will literally kill me for talking bad about it, but I just can't get that into it. It's good. Don't get me wrong. And in the right situation, it can be fantastic. But it's not what I'm going to if I have my absolute choice.
I've got two problems now.
Only two? All right.
All right, we're gonna sidetrack from it because we have plenty of time to do this kind of stuff. But what about Chicago pizza?
I love deep dish.
Love it.
To build on it, actually, Trevor Lawrence is authentic Chicago deep dish pizza because I literally heard about it for years before I finally got to try it, to the point where I'm like, it can't possibly be this good. And I try it and go, oh, yeah, you know, it's good. It is the best.
All right, well, the pick is in. Before we announce it, we are actually going to go to our expert on this because this person lived in New York for a while. Aaron Dorsch, our resident PGA pro. New York-style pizza or Chicago-style deep dish? New York. Aaron goes with New York here.
Oh,
Aaron,
my God.
The long, flat slice.
Is there a reason for that? Is there an actual reason that you're more of a New York-style than a Chicago-style deep dish pizza person? Deep dish is too much for her.
It is a bit of a casserole, but yeah, exactly. That is the point. That's not a bug. That's a feature.
See, I find it efficient. I find it efficient because you get a hot and sweaty around these parts, which shout out to Tony. Tony dubbed the hot and sweaty for hot and ready. You can crush like 8 pieces. You can have a whole box before you realize you're full. You go to Chicago, you need one slice. That's efficiency.
Now, Jay, where do you fall in the buddies? Like Detroit style, is that something that plays right with Chicago, or were we talking one A and one B again?
I mean, Chicago pizza is the best pizza. It beats Detroit style pizza any day of the week. You can't beat that.
I think we see a Twitter poll coming out here very, very soon.
But going back to the actual question, which we deviated from,
for pizza.
It's one and two. It's one and two. Trevor Lawrence is the solidified one. They're not of the same elk just because they play the same position. So I'm out on trying to group those two together. And besides, he's going to the Jets. Like, I can't wait to see where you go somewhere else in 4 years from now.
True Jets fan. He can't be bothered to get out of the chair. Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU.
So wait. What's this disgusting leather-ass chair they have on the stage that they keep putting a fan in? Are they sanitizing that chair in between sits?
Wait, a fan is being put in them? Like a person fan, not an air fan.
A human being from each team that's wearing like a team-represented sweater is sitting on the stage when they announce the pick. That's their gimmick this year.
It's the only fan chair.
The NFL is so prodigious in being just the dumbest.
Yeah.
Just the catch rule? Sure. Completely dumb. How do we top it? This, apparently.
A chair on the stage.
Oh my God. How long until they call it the best seat in the house?
Oh, I'm sure they already have.
Zach, by the way, real quickly, Zach Wilson looks like the guy from the club's, the Boy Scouts that comes to my house to get like spare cans and bottle drives. Like, I've seen him before. He tried to get like 40 cans off me. This dude looks like he's 12.
Mr. Marcus, do you have any recycling?
We're trying to fund our trip to Yosemite. Can I have your cans, please?
Adam Schefter with, I think, the tweet that sums it up the best. Jets take BYU quarterback Zach Wilson, and now the 2021 NFL draft is underway.
Yeah.
So now we have curveballs to talk about. The San Francisco team we mentioned early on giving up what I heard as a trade rumor, King's ransom, to try to get a hold of Aaron Rodgers. As I heard it, it was the third overall pick, other picks that were not spoke of, multiple players, including Jimmy Garoppolo, for Aaron Rodgers. And when you look at it, you have to wonder, either San Francisco either Green Bay is just stuck to Aaron Rodgers and they're going to drive him into the ground, or this trade isn't to be true. But if you're going to see a trade, I feel like San Francisco is the team that would be willing to make this move because they do seem to maintain the opinion that they are a quarterback away from this working. Now, whether you believe that or not.
Oh, absolutely. I think they are, right? And Kyle Shanahan can whip up whatever other magic that he's trying to. And the pitfall they have to avoid is Kyle Shanahan walking in and going, no, I am the smartest man in the room. I'm going to take Mac Jones. and I gave up all this stuff for it, and I'll make it work because I'm so damn smart. And that's how smart people, you know, basically torture and sabotage themselves. But it's, Aaron Rodgers, probably the best fit for him, and really put the whole thing full circle that they passed on him for Alex Smith all those years ago. Here we go.
All right. Now I have mine in front of me. I know Russ probably has all of them in front of him. This is where we actually get into the draft, and we get mock draft this. Surprise, surprise. We all went 2 for 2 in the first.
Yep.
First two.
Three but points for everybody.
Now we get into questions here. And I would like to say I in the mock draft, I took Justin Fields here. I would like to, because I want to ask this question from this aspect, putting our mock draft aside, whether you believed it or not, because unfortunately we had to draft the way we thought the teams were going to draft, not how we were going to draft. Jay, when you look at this, who do you actually have here? Is it the same as your mock draft, or do you see someone else going here?
I mean, I only do things authentically, so it's my mock draft is real life. It's Justin okay. Fields. This Justin Fields, the mystery of whether he should or should not be even in the top 10 is a joke. He should be in the top 10. He should be picked right here. If they want Aaron Rodgers, great. You can try that out real quick with Kittle, but you need a quarterback that's going to play beyond Kittle's years. Like, you need someone who's going to carry this franchise for much longer than Aaron Rodgers for, what, 3, maybe 4 years if you're lucky and he's healthy. Take a rookie quarterback. Take Justin Fields.
Just to give you the perspective, and then, Russ, I want to ask you the same thing. Since 1965, these are the quarterbacks that the Jets have taken in the first round. Joe Namath, obvious Hall of Fame. Richard Todd in 1976 was the 6th overall pick. Ken O'Brien in 83 was the 24th overall pick. And now we get to the names we know. Chad Pennington obviously had a very rough career with injuries, was the 18th pick in 2000. Butt fumble Mark Sanchez was the 5th overall pick in 2009. And then, as we said, Sam Darnold, 2018, 3rd overall pick. So a lot of turnover in since 2000 in quarterbacks, and a lot of unsuccessful picks across the board there, Russ.
And yet somehow I thought there were more.
It feels like there should be more. I agree. Yeah. Now, again, those were only the first round picks. They probably drafted quarterbacks in other rounds. But circling back to it, I know we said that this mock draft is kind of our thing. Does your mock draft hold up to where you actually feel they're going to go? Or was it kind of one of those things of you see it being this guy, but you think San Francisco probably sees it being this guy?
I tried to straddle that line, and point in time when we did it, I thought all of the Mac Jones stuff was 100% a smokescreen. I wasn't gonna buy into it because I'd take Justin Fields as the 3rd quarterback here. However, if I'm to believe anything that I've heard since, I'm completely in the wrong. So if I was redoing it today and trying to predict what they were gonna do, I would not have taken Justin Fields. If I'm in the chair, I am, though.
You see, that's the thing. That's where I really, looking at all these quarterbacks, and I'll probably catch a lot of flack for this, and I probably deserve it. Looking at the tape on this, I get how successful he was at Ohio State. I just don't see it. I don't see Justin Fields turning that corner in the next level and being the guy. Now, again, that could be just as easily said about Mac Jones. I mean, Alabama has one of the worst track records at transferring into pro quarterbacks. It really is just not – guess who the last one was? Joe Namath. But it really does. It makes it very tough. But I just – when I look at it, I feel like if you're talking about a team that says that that's the only position they're short of, Mac Jones is a guy that can get it done because you're saying you have weapons everywhere. Well, he's used to that, Alabama. Justin Fields to me feels like a guy who's going to be a little bit of a playmaker, and I just think if you're San Francisco, you want to go with that drop back pocket passer who's going to get it to Kittle, who's going to get it to those offensive weapons. And for me, it's Mac Jones in that way.
Mac Jones feels like the guy that, you plug in day one. That's the plan, quote unquote, for him. They have Garoppolo there. I guess if they've lost all faith 100% and they really can't guarantee if he's going to be alive on Sunday, then sure. But otherwise, he can buoy you for a year. He got you to a Super Bowl with everything else that was around him.
Absolutely. Again, this is honestly to me the biggest coin flip of them all. It could be one of those two, but look, we're leaving him out. It could be Trey Lance here.
It very well could. The rawest guy.
Yeah.
See, he's easily like the 4th best quarterback, in my opinion. He had never tested. Like, he's this, like, perfect little egg out in the field that hasn't even seen the world yet. Like, there's not enough data on him. You can't play for North Dakota State and have a perfect record and just be this great guy and not play real. I mean, he played football. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know what I'm trying to say. Like, I want a challenge. This man, I don't think this man's been challenged.
No, I mean, not to the level that a lot of his colleagues have been. I mean, he's the clear tied for fourth for me, because it's really him and Mac Jones is what flavor do you want? Mac Jones is more polished. Trey Lance could have more upside. He's got more raw ability to him. You probably need both to really be a top quarterback there. Trey Lance is either going to be really good or really bad. There's probably not a lot in between.
And here we go. The pick is in. Cisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback out of San Francisco.
There we go. Gentlemen, we were all wrong on that.
We were all wrong. Well done. Look, I
just said he's the fourth best. What the fuck?
But this is that curveball that we knew we could see here. There were quarterbacks. There were three quarterbacks left in this, and I love it. Seeing tears wiped from the eye, I love it. This is a guy that a lot of question marks go to. He didn't play last year. He played one game this year, and now he's the third overall pick in the draft. But it says to me that if you are San Francisco and if you are Shanahan and you think this is it, this is your guy, because you think getting this guy into the rotation, getting him on the field right now, potentially if Jimmy G doesn't, but it also could say that Jimmy G is going to stay for another year. But this is the guy that you think is going to hold that mantle for years to come. And I love it. I love seeing it.
So speaking on how raw he is, do you think this is a repeat of Kaepernick and Alex Smith? Or do they force the situation sooner and force Trey Lance into the starting lineup?
Force.
I honestly threw the Jimmy G thing in there just because I think you have to wait and see how quickly he picks up the material. But in all honesty, I would not surprise me if he comes in and can show a strong enough knowledge of this offense and shows that he's not going to waver. Yeah, this guy plays quarterback for you this year. I absolutely believe it.
ESPN just did him dirty, by the way.
Oh no!
The little graphic that said like 318 career passing attempts, the fewest amount of quarterbacks in the past 40 years. How rude! Well, either way, you have to start him. He's got to go. You go straight to him. Garoppolo, I don't know. What is he going to give him? 2-3 games and then turn Trey Lance loose? It's going to be one of those situations. I don't know. I don't see Garoppolo staying long or even starting long either.
That was your guy a few years ago.
I burn fast, man. He's gone. I'm done with Jimmy G. He was my guy.
All right, but now the conversation has to be made, because this is where we all kind of differed in opinion here. I had Penei Sewell going fourth overall to Atlanta, but now if you're Atlanta, Mac Jones is still sitting on that board. Justin Fields is still sitting on this board. If you're Atlanta, Jay, you love to call yourself our commissioner, our GM, you're our guy. Does that draft board, do you kind of look at it and go, okay, take those names down, we got to start working a little bit? Or is it this one of those things where you already had your guy ready to go, you're just fortunate that he's still sitting there?
I don't know, man, because I think this is a moment where they're going to say Matt Ryan is it still, and we don't have to worry about it. I couldn't tell you who the backup quarterback is for Atlanta. Like, you could put – I can't even do it. No clue. I don't know if either of you know.
No, of course not. Okay. Not since Matt Schaub left.
The point being, I don't think
we're still – I was going to say Matt Schaub.
The point being, I don't think we're still going to find out who that is, because it's not going to be a quarterback here. I think they're going to continue with Matt Ryan. They're going to – Penei Sewell is the next best bet. I don't think you're going Kyle Pitts here. I think they would be rather
– One, you're going to love this. They don't have a backup quarterback.
Listen.
No, you got it right. You didn't know.
Literally, it's just Matt Ryan. But Jay, you start your answer. You actually put the question out there. I was going to lead in with afterwards. Is Matt Ryan the guy? Like, if you're looking at this team and you're talking about the pieces that are there, you have an. I don't want to say aging, because that's not fair. He's still one of the best receivers in the league. But you have a Julio Jones who's not the same in context. And he's had to do it on his own for a while. You have some young receivers. You have a questionable run game. Kyle Pitts is a guy that fits here, that tight end position, who's also an offensive weapon, as we've said. Penei Sewell fits here. But if you're looking at this, and like I said, Russ, Mac Jones, Justin Fields still on the board. Is Matt Ryan the guy where you feel comfortable enough saying we can go in another direction and talk about like a Sam Ellinger in a later round to kind of pad that position?
I think a later round is exactly what you do, because Matt Ryan is no longer Mr. Right, but he is still Mr. Right now.
Fair enough.
And he can, maybe they don't get back to the playoffs. They're picking fourth for a reason. But whatever comes next, he can still play in this league. He can still be at the minimum an average starter. That should not be what you strive for. You should not strive to have an average starter. Holmes, please. It's Jared Goff. What are you doing? But yeah, that's why you take flyers in later rounds and you spend the capital building up other places with your premium picks.
Were you listening to 21 Savage earlier today? Because that is a direct line. Oh, that I'll send you the song. There's a lyric that 21 Savage says. It's exactly what you just said.
Well, I just remember hearing it a lot back in the dating scene.
Oh, buddy.
Now comes the bigger question, because we kind of started talking about the Lions right as this was starting. But I'm just doing some real quick math in my head. Now, again, I'm not the mathematician of our show, but I'm going to pretend to be. We're looking at an Atlanta team where there could be a quarterback coming off the board. It could be other positions. But then you're looking at 5 Cincinnati and at 6 Miami. Very unlikely either of those teams are going quarterback since they've just drafted quarterbacks. Now, again, trades are still in play. We could see something. But doing basic math here, assuming it's not a quarterback, you're talking about Justin Fields and Mac Jones both sitting there at 7. I said quarterback was a position that quarterback to me as well, a position I'm still skeptical about going after. But if one of those guys is there, does it have to be a conversation? And is it a likely conversation? Or if you're the Lions, is this a premier opportunity to take the Patriots, the Broncos, and say, okay, show me the money. Cuba Gooding Jr., this thing. Show me the money.
I hope it's that one.
Okay.
Something I've been scared about for months now is, and maybe scared's the wrong reason, the wrong word to say, but I went back, looked at every quarterback Holmes has ever drafted, and the profile fits Mac Jones. And it fits Mac Jones really, really well. And I'm not ready for Detroit to burn down when they pick Mac Jones. So I'm going to assume it doesn't happen. But no, it's take him to the cleaners. Came into this draft with 6 picks. There's 7 rounds, right? You're already below average in your draft capital here. That would be your chance to replenish it all. You got to take that chance.
If this was anything other than year one for the new GM and head coach, I would be saying we are guaranteed one of these 2 quarterbacks right now between Cincinnati and Miami not taking them. I hate the fact that I don't want them. They're not going to take one.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Fourth pick. In the 2021 NFL draft. The Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, tight end out of Florida. Now, look, this is a guy who, honestly, we're going to bring it up when he got drafted. He got drafted. Mel Kiper has gone on record as saying this is the best physically gifted tight end he has ever evaluated since he's been doing this. Now, Kiper's been doing this since the mid-'80s. I maintain, yes, he's very physically gifted. I maintain that I think it helps a little bit that this is a weaker tight end class. The players he's compared to are Travis Kelce and Waller out of Las Vegas, both great names to be attached to. But when I look at this guy, I see a lot of offensive ability when he doesn't have to put his hands on someone, when he doesn't have to block. And I'm sorry, if you're a team that wants to play in this NFL, you need a tight end that can be believable putting his hands on somebody. So whether that's something they have to work on or they just have to accept that they have a 6'5", 250-pound wide receiver.
I mean, personally, I'm a big proponent of embrace the strengths and don't try to hammer them back out to be like a drone like everybody else. He is, and this word gets thrown on way too much, but he is a freak athlete. So embrace that. Make him be a weapon so he can't block. Cool. Invest in the offensive line. You got 5 of them. They should block. If you have to bring in a second tight end, that's fine, because he doesn't have a lot of the same limitations that a normal tight end would have. He's practically a receiver on his own. And maybe you go back to the old Patriot way of having, you know, a move tight end and a traditional tight end like they had with Hernandez and Gronk before, well, Hernandez everywhere. I like it as a quote unquote foundational piece, because if you have Julio and Pitts out there, what are you doing? Like, who do you cover? Right. And it lets them trade Julio if they want and still have a key weapon.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it draws a line in the sand for them. They're sticking with Matt Ryan, clearly.
Yes.
They probably still won't have a backup quarterback come Monday after these 5-8 bajillion rounds they go through. But that just solidifies what they're going to do with him. These last two picks have shocked me. I didn't expect Pitts to go at tight end here to Atlanta. I legitimately thought they would be trying to pick up an old tackle. But, like, for the next two rounds now, both teams, rookie, like, very young quarterbacks, you could easily go Sewell and Slater right here, which means the Lions will fall to both quarterbacks, all the wide outs. It's like the draft starts with us now. Because if both of these teams go O-tackle, and Eric, this might be your next thing, I'm stealing it from you, and I apologize. But if they both go O-tackle, the Lions literally have anything they want to do, which is going to be very interesting for Dan Campbell and company.
You're not stealing from me, but I agree with what you're saying. You're actually, I'm sitting here kind of thinking, when you look at this now, Cincinnati, Miami, and Detroit, all three teams that have needs everywhere, but all three teams that have so many needs that the draft capital might be worth the exchange. Of these three teams, I mean, Russ, which one do you – and I get we're going to want to say Detroit because we're Detroit fans. But of these three teams, I mean, are Cincinnati or Miami, do you see them as more likely contenders to say, yeah, we'll switch with you? Or is it that thing of guys are kind of falling right into place where it's like, no, I think I need to get Penei Sewell, or I think I need to get Waddles, or I need to go out and get Rashawn Slater?
I would not count the Dolphins out from doing anything. Mm-hmm. They pulled off all those crazy moves, as it were, just to get into six. No, until they actually make their pick throughout, and this goes for the entire draft, until the Dolphins actually are on the clock and make their pick, they're in play to trade it.
Yeah,
they've proven that much.
God, I hate this part. We are literally traveling into like the uneasy part of this draft.
That's the fun.
I know. I think Russ has a point, though. If out of all the teams, I could see Miami doing being the 1-2 traded away. You got Joe frickin' Burrow. Protect that man. Like, Burrow almost died, and I think his knee is still sitting somewhere in the middle of that field over there. So, like, you have to protect Burrow. I think Miami can get a little loosey-goosey and move pieces around. I just don't know if a team's going to do that with Miami in terms of trading up just to get a quarterback. I mean, I don't know. At what we have at O-Tackle, this is where you protect your assets. You've already started to build something. Now you got to protect yourself. So I'd hope they'd play smart, but we'll see.
As I'm looking at my mock draft, we have a little while before we could potentially see another one of these. Number 7, Lions, could be the next spot. So before we get too far away from it and the thought is fresh in the mind, we just saw Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and Trey Lance go off the board. So this is kind of Starch and Salty's second bet of the show. But I'm not going to give you odds here. I just want to ask you, if you're a betting man, how many of these guys would you bet on seeing year one? Not saying they start week one. How many would you bet on seeing year one?
Can I say all of them because of week 17?
Fair enough.
they should all get snaps on week 17. No one's going to play that week, man. They're all going to be sitting on their butts.
Sure they will, because now there's a week 18.
Oh, we had another week?
Yeah. Yes. Wait a minute. Do you not remember this?
I thought they added week 17. They added week. You're fucking with me.
Yeah. He's giving it to you because of bye week. There's always 17 weeks.
Oh, I'm talking about. Don't get the bye week out of here.
You didn't call it game 17.
Oh, my God. With that.
You're welcome.
There it is. There's the click.
I've been insufferable enough.
Yeah. Russ, from the outsider, though, how many of these guys, of these three, do we see all three of these guys this year?
So I'll answer the question correctly in that we're not going to just pan over to them in the sideline and see them on camera with a big ol'. Yeah. Out of the three that have been taken, I think we'll get two. The first two, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson. I think Trey Lance sits. I just don't think there's the market to get rid of Garoppolo. So they're going to take advantage of it for a while. And unless he gets hurt again, I think we'll see a Patrick Mahomes type development curve here where next year he's out.
Well, I think I already know the answer to this next question then, because you kind of just gave it to me. How many of these guys do we see start week one?
Two.
That's what I figured.
Yep. Same
simple math got me there. Jay, if you're a betting man, would you bet on we're going to at least see two of these guys on the field week one?
No, it's got to be two. I don't see him being more than two.
By the way, if you're a person that's paying attention to this, it has been more than 7 minutes since we announced a pick. They're a commercial right now, but the pick is in for the Cincinnati Bengals. And real quick before they announce it, quick thoughts. I had Kyle Pitts here, so I'm a little screwed over. But either of you guys, where do you guys see Cincinnati going here?
So I had Ja'Marr Chase, and that's still, hey, you get to reunite him with Burrow, and that's a feel-good story, and I'm sorry for how many times you'll have to hear it on Sunday. It'd be hard not to take Sewell, though. Personally, I didn't think Sewell would be here, but that's who I would take.
Yeah, I had Cincinnati going O-tackle. Technically, right now, Slater is on my list, but that's because I had Sewell going where he should have gone. So either one's fine, Sewell or Slater. They got to go O-tackle here.
So what you're saying is Cincinnati will get their own version of the fact that Clayton Kershaw and Matt Stafford went to high school together in Chase and Burrow's playing together at LSU. Gotcha. Oh,
and there's going to be so many Tiger jokes, too. My God.
You're going from the Tigers to the Bengals. Yeah,
yep. A Tiger can change its stripes. Look at this.
What's a Matt Stafford? Is that something I should be familiar with?
He's this guy off in L.A. now. We kind of know about him.
You know him as Stat Padford. That's what you know him as. The guy.
Paddington Bear? Are we talking about Paddington Bear?
Yes, Paddington Stafford.
I've seen the second movie.
Right now, Rotten Tomatoes only 100% movie. How about that?
That's why I brought it up. I saw that earlier. It passed Citizen Kane.
It did. How about that? What a life.
Cincinnati Bengals select Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver at LSU. So we are one pick away from Penei Sewell potentially being there for the Detroit Lions. Now, again, we're only speculating. We have to see what Miami goes, but when you look at Miami, this seems like a team that a receiver makes sense. So you have to think Waddle's in play, but Ja'Marr Chase, heck of a wide receiver at LSU. It was a guy that I actually had the Lions taking because of the fact that it's a position they need to address. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, Russ, the Tiger has changed his stripes, and now we are going to see the Burrow Chase story just keep going.
You're just going to get so sick of the storyline. But I'm happy about it because it has moved me into first place in our stupid little competition.
Oh, stop it. I don't want to hear it.
I do. I constantly do.
Quick question for everyone. Surprise question. Here's my first one.
Oh, here we go.
Given what's left on the board right now, if Bob Quinn was here, what would be selected?
Oh, my God. I had that exact question.
All the talent is still there. What does Bob Quinn do right now?
In all honesty, I think if Bob Quinn was here, we end up drafting Devontae Smith.
That hurts.
We go with a speedy little Nick Saban guy.
It'd be Michael Parsons. That's 100%. I think it'd be Michael Parsons. Because that is, the defense wasn't good. This is supposed to be our hallmark. This is what we're going to do. Character concerns? Have you seen our coach? Sexual assault, what? Not a big deal to them. It would be Michael Parsons. It would 100% would be Michael Parsons in my mind if Quintricia were still pulling the strings in Detroit.
I love that I grabbed a question of yours.
Oh, my God. I was so happy.
Yeah.
I had an answer.
I would go Michael Parsons as well because he would pass on all the superior offensive linemen that are still sitting there. He would pass on quarterbacks if he was worried about having a quality backup quarterback just to get a defensive piece.
I have to defend Quinn and damn you for making me do this. He had some good offensive line selections. Ragnow?
Fair.
Super good. Taylor Decker, a solid piece. Letting Graham Glasgow go? I don't understand that one. But he's... The one place he's probably drafted better than anywhere else was probably the O-line.
That's fair. But O-line here, I think, just solidifies the shit out of that line, which we needed.
Good.
Who's the quarterback? I don't care. It doesn't matter. This is a long-term play. If Penei Sewell actually falls to us, that's the pick. Like, I'm pro quarterback. You know I want quarterback. I forgot his name. I think he plays for Miami. He's pretty good.
Tua? This guy.
Yeah, I wanted Tua. I still want a quarterback, but if Penei Sewell is there, priorities quickly change.
Okay, Justin. Justin, okay.
I'm not going to miss listening to Justin say Penei over and over and over and over again.
Penei pasta.
No, that's not even how that's pronounced.
Pasta?
Penne pasta.
I'm blending the two.
You, not well. Let me tell you. So okay, Justin. And I won't do the whole bit again, but let's say both quarterbacks are there at 7. And Miami calls. And they go, hey, we want one of those quarterbacks. We'll give you Tua. 4-7, straight up.
That's not fair. That's bullshit.
It is. Sir.
Justin Fields better than Tua Tagovailoa.
Ooh. It hurt his soul to say it.
I got rid of Garoppolo. I'll get rid of Tua. I'll take Justin Fields over both of them.
He's like, show me the new toy.
Burn and turn, baby. Burn and turn.
Oh, man.
Well, for those that are listening, it is official. The Lions are on the clock as the Miami Dolphins pick is in. We are waiting to hear who it is, but it's Lions time now, guys. We got to think over the next couple minutes that phones will be ringing off the hook. Holmes does have a reputation for trading. He likes to make moves in drafts. So we'll see what they do here. But I got to say, depending on what the Dolphins do, some names are going to still be left on this board that you have to think the Lions had circled.
Absolutely. Pretty much all of them, I would think.
I would think that Sewell was a guy they didn't think they were ever going to potentially see.
Right.
But
he was in a lot of mock drafts, but yeah, I think you're still right.
But I mean, you look at this, like we said, the Dolphins don't seem like a likely contender to be taking a quarterback. So you have to think Justin Fields and Mac Jones will be sitting there.
Oh, no, I want Justin Fields. I'm stressed. I am stressed. I wanted Michael Parsons. Penei Sewell is an option. Slater is still an option. But now that I think about Justin Fields, like, thanks for coming, Jared Goff. Go back to your house. I hope you didn't sell it yet. Like, this is why I'm not an actual owner of a team.
But see, taking one of those quarterbacks doesn't mean anything because they will never see the field.
Oh, I'd start game one.
They will let Jared Goff get beat up. And they will get a backup quarterback, and this guy will be the third string quarterback who just sits on the bench and learns.
That's the logical answer. That is very true.
We have no room for that, however.
Can I follow up with one quick thing? I just have, just as a bystander of this production I'm watching on TV, if you are a fan sitting in the little cubicles, if you will, there's cubicles in the tomb.
This guy.
They all cheer. Is there an option where you don't cheer? Like, has anyone ever been like, what the, really? Like, I haven't seen dejection yet. I've only seen celebration.
All right, here we go.
The Miami Dolphins select Jalen Waddle.
Jalen Waddle, wide receiver.
Wow.
Out of Alabama. Now, this
reunited.
Back-to-back reunions as Jalen Waddle, former Alabama wide receiver, will now go to Miami and be reunited with Tua Tagovailoa, quarterback from Alabama, who he won a national championship with. Back-to-back wide receivers here, the two best wide receivers in this draft, according to a lot of people. Actually, if you think about it, three straight, as we had Kyle Pitts right before that. Mm-hmm. So three big offensive weapons hit the stage in a row. And I honestly, this one doesn't surprise me. I said in the draft, in our little mock draft, that I thought this one was going to happen. I had Jalen Waddle going here, and I just felt this is the guy that you want to get that reunion. You want to give to a guy that he is comfortable being on the field with.
Did you guys see him get picked right there? Russ, are you watching at all?
I am not. I'm watching your beautiful faces.
So just to add some perspective as to what just happened, Jalen Waddle was in a cubicle with his family. And they all jumped up and celebrated, and Jalen Waddle just left. He didn't hug his mom. He didn't high-five his buddy. He literally just left. He's like, they called my number. I got to go get my deli meat. Like, he was gone.
What that does is really highlight one of his key strengths, and that's his agility and escapability.
Escapability. He escaped just, his family with his
kids. CMI. He has no priorities but winning.
I'm not mad at that.
You should be mad at the standings, however. As Eric pointed out, he did call this one right, which vaunts him ahead of me. 9 points, 8 points to me, 3 points for good old Justin.
Well, Eric is always saying that he makes you smarter. He doesn't speak on my behalf. He speaks on his behalf. Eric is winning for a reason here.
I'm gonna let the numbers just talk for themselves here.
Humble. Very humble.
The downside to that is, as we come up to the Lions pick, Eric had Chase going here, who isn't there. So Justin's Parsons pick and my Devonta Smith pick are both there and seemingly very not likely.
Parsons is dead. Parsons is dead to me. He doesn't exist. I don't care anymore. Look at all of the toys we have available to us now.
And that being said, here we are. We're at number 7. And I asked this question a little earlier, but I'm gonna put it again, this one. Leave that mock draft off to the side. The points are great and all that. Who do you guys want to see here? Who is that guy? We know who's available. Jay's been going back and forth on this, so I'll let him stew a little longer. Russ, who's the guy you want here?
Sewell. Yep, that's my guy at this point. I didn't think he'd be there. And you have a chance to go out and get the best guy at his position in this draft. And we touched on it last time, but I think it's worth stressing again. He's so young that if he plays out his entire rookie contract with the 5th-year option and then a 4-year extension, he's still only 29 and he's already this good. Now that is the definition of a foundation piece for this rebuild and the next one after that, if it fails.
See, that's the responsible thing to do right there. Again,
that's the problem.
I mean, it's not Slater, so it's Sewell. Do you try to grab a quarterback? Is someone else trying to grab a quarterback, knowing that Denver's right on their heels? I don't know, man. It's Sewell or trade. And do you pass on Sewell for a trade at this point? Carolina and Denver could easily both take a quarterback. The Cowboys, I think they're going corner. The Giants don't need a quarterback. Eagles, they need offensive weapons. I mean, a team would have to want to believe that that Fields and Jones got to be next, or you know, the Patriots. Well, you know, Patriots are looming still. They could execute order, not Trey Lance.
Also, if you're Denver, you got to be very comfortable right now, because more than likely, a quarterback's going to be there for you between Fields and Jones. Even if we take one, you're still talking about Carolina, who does not need a quarterback. They are not in the running for a quarterback, as you would think. So they are trade bait for it. But this is a team that, if you're Denver right now, you're sitting here very happy. I have to go to my draft expert. Ginger, who are they going to take? That's what I thought. This is where I see Penei Sewell. I agree with Russ. Penei Sewell is the logical pick. Now, if you're Brad Holmes, and if you're Dan Campbell, this is your moment to say, look, we did the smart thing. We are not going to wake up tomorrow, and you are not going to have Lions fans saying the Lions took some safety who we've never heard of, or they took some guy who he plays really hard. Well, that's fantastic. No one's ever freaking heard of him. So clearly he didn't play that hard at a very high level. So this is a moment where this is your chance to do the right thing. This is your chance to establish a piece that you want on this team. Now, if that's Mac Jones, that's great. You're showing us that you found your quarterback. If it is Justin Fields, same thing. You feel that this is that guy. Penei Sewell, I'm okay with it. I mean, at this point, I really am sitting here saying, I like Micah Parsons. So if it's Micah Parsons and you're ready to get into that defense, good. You got your guy. But it needs to be your guy. It can't just be someone who you watched a lot of film on and you kind of slowly fell in love with. This guy, whoever this person is, I'll put it this way, whoever this person is, has to be sitting on this roster 5-6 years from now and has to have been someone contributing for the last 5-6 years.
I mean, that's pretty damn fair.
I keep trying to think of a point, but then I keep going, did they make the pick? Did they make the pick? And I can't focus. I'm that nervous about it.
It's Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve.
The pick is in. We're just waiting to see who it is.
Oh, Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell was standing up, grinning like he just found a bajillion dollars on this.
So no trade then.
No trade. This is a legit pick. The pick is in. The ticker is up for you guys watching. The pick is in, and here we go. Goodell is walking to the podium.
I'm nervous.
The seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft. The Detroit Lions select. Penei Sewell. What? Okay. Offensive tackle out of Oregon. This is exactly what I wanted to see here. This is a guy who legitimately is ready to go week one, and he's a guy who is versatile. Oh, look, he's crying. See, that's going to get me every time. That's what you want to see. This is a guy who knows what it is and is blessed to be in the NFL. He is a beast of an offensive lineman, and he's someone who's versatile. We can use him in more than one spot. But that being said, you need to pick that spot. If you want to start him at a tackle position, he needs to stay at a tackle position. This cannot be a guy that sees four different positions in 5 years, because that just means that he wasn't what you thought he was.
Does it bother?
I got goosebumps.
Oh,
I did too.
I want to kind of put this one to bed here, because it's going to be something that's going to get talked about a lot more now. Does it bother anyone that he opted out from playing last year?
Not even a little bit. Not even a little bit.
Okay.
So I still want to opt out from last year. Last year was fucky.
That's fair and the correct answer. But it doesn't bother me either. I'm just very risk averse. And now he's a stud and has all the physical tools, and the tape that we did see on him was solid. But the last time we saw him play, he was 19 years old. So there is a bit here. I'm not saying he's Tony Mandarich, right? He's not going to come out and absolutely bust. But in my starting him at guard, starting him at right tackle, maybe that, you might be onto something here as he gets back up to speed.
Now, let me ask you something, Russ, because I see the reason for the question and I get the conversation of it. What concerns you more, though, that he opts out of the last year or that our current left tackle has just said, hey, I'm just not going to get vaccinated at all?
Oh, Taylor Decker, your Ohio is showing. I was so distraught when I saw that, because, look, yes, obviously – it's his choice technically, because yes, you have a freedom of choice. However, it is an irresponsible one. You're an offensive lineman whose whole credo is supposed to be protecting others, and you're flying in the face of that by not getting vaccinated. If you want to say, hey, I don't want Johnson & Johnson because those like a dozen people that got blood clots. Okay, cool. We got two other types that you can get, right? If that was the issue, totally get it. Doesn't sound like it was. And he completely avoided the question, which is a bigger problem. If you're going to be out there about it, own it, right? At least own it, because if you can't explain it, it's because you know there's not a good reason, and that you're telling on yourself by avoiding it like that.
Now, Russ, I know you're not watching this. Jay, I know you are. You want any more proof that this team just did something right? You watch the draft room celebration of these guys when they announce that. Not a single person is sitting down, and every one of them is jumping around like we just hoisted the Lombardi trophy. This is a team that somehow the guy they wanted made it to them, and they did not blink at the opportunity.
Yep.
I know, Jay, cool. You wanted him too. This is a pick that I'm legitimately excited about. You don't hear people saying they're excited about offensive linemen. I'm excited about this because, if nothing else, it shows me this regime is out to do the right thing, not the flashy thing.
It literally was a room full of Trevor Lawrence's nanas jumping up and down with excitement. like no one was sitting. I saw people jumping into people's arms. No one did that for Hockenson. Sorry. No one did that for his name escapes me because he didn't let everyone escape him, the corner we took last year.
Okuda.
There it is. No, that was cool. Them jumping, I bet they did not wake up thinking they were going to get Penei Sewell.
I would be astonished to find out that the Miami Dolphins or the Cincinnati Bengals woke up today thinking they had a shot at Penei Sewell. This was a guy that I did not see getting past that fourth overall pick. So to say, no, to
I
say
totally
to them,
agree.
But see, now we get into murky waters because now we get into a position where trades are going to be an actual chance because you're looking at a Carolina team that doesn't need a quarterback. Well, if you're a team that's behind Denver, you have to be thinking, yes, a quarterback could still be there, but will the guy we want still be there? Not a lot of people had Trey Lance going off the board this early. So you're looking at Mac Jones and Justin Fields. Mac Jones falling a little bit. Justin Fields, a lot of people were projecting him to be the fourth or fifth quarterback in this draft. So, I mean, you're looking at Carolina up now. The pick is in, so we have to assume that they're drafting. Then you have Denver. So that honestly, a quarterback probably coming off the draft. But then you're followed by Dallas. That's the thing. You're also now walking into that opportunity of there's not a lot of need for quarterback over the next couple picks.
Where are the trades?
That's my question.
Yes, it's. I mean, it's building off of your point that yeah, it's not. I don't think Denver's out of the QB market, right? So maybe that's something there, but yeah, it dries up real quick after that for a while as to who would take one. Maybe Washington jumps up, the Patriots. After that, it's never count out the Raiders and Gruden, but I'm going through them all. And you're looking at the Bears going, how long do you wait until you pull the trigger? Because they've got to pull the trigger.
Yep. By the way, Bears. I can retire now. Former Detroit Red Wing, Darren McCarty, just retweeted my tweet about the Lions. So I'm good. This was fun. See you guys later.
he says about friend of the podcast and previous guest.
Friend of the podcast.
who we had all on.
Yeah, who we all know, Darren McCarty. It's still a moment.
Also co-worker, but we'll just laugh.
No, Jay, you were going to say about the Bears.
Oh, fuck. I completely forgot. I got it.
Go ahead.
It's the Bears and the Pats you have to be concerned about. I think if anyone's trading up, it's got to be one of those two.
All right, well, here we go. The pick is in with the eighth pick.
Cam Newton again. Love Cam.
Carolina selects.
J.C. Horn,
cornerback out of South Carolina.
There's a swerve.
Yeah, not it's a little bit of a swerve. Not a surprise here. He's one of the top corners in this. I know I had Micah Parsons here, a guy I thought that they could use to replace position. I mean, yeah, I J.C. Horn was down the list a little bit. I think for all of us. So
for sure, yep.
I had him at 16. Justin also had him at 16.
I had him at 23 to the Jets.
So. Right. Yeah, first corner off. I don't think any of us had him as the first corner.
No, I had Fairley as the first corner off. Yeah.
Wow. So I had Surtain. So yeah.
Good for that young man.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fantastic. And but you know, at the same time, this is a Carolina team that I said in the in our pre-draft show that this is a team that needs to address that defense. Your offense. Look, we don't know what Sam Darnold's going to be in this offense. Now, part of it was he's on a bad Jets team. You're going to have McCaffrey. You're going to have some offensive weapons to play with. So we don't necessarily know what we're going to get out of Sam Darnold in Carolina. For that being said, I'm not going to speak ill of that offense until I see it. Now, if he goes out there and he can't perform, then yes, we know this offense needs work as well. But on the other side of the ball, that defense needs some pieces. They need to find a way to build it up to become a more complete team. Give that offense a chance to stay in football games.
And hopefully Sam Darnold doesn't completely bomb the other half of it.
And exactly. That's what I'm saying. The other half of that is Sam Darnold needs to actually be a quarterback in this league.
Right. And I mean, and having a guy like Christian McCaffrey to take the pressure off of him should help, right? That's more support than he's probably ever had.
Should.
I mean, they still got to replace Luke Kuechly back there, who was the heart of that defense. And J.C. Horn doesn't do it. They needed help corner. He helps that, right? But there's still a lot of big holes to fill on that defense before it starts being a contributor to them winning.
How old was Kuechly when he retired? I feel like he like should not have retired yet.
He retired young, but retired not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me look that up for you.
I mean, he gave the sport his all, like, times 10. Like, there's no doubting his ethic, but.
He's one of the best linebackers like we've seen play. I'm not saying all time, but we've seen play.
Like I promise you later in the year, I'll still refer to Luke Kuechly on this team. Like I'll still think he's playing for them, hands down.
He turned 30 just over a week ago, 420 blaze it. Happy birthday, Luke Kuechly.
He's 30 and he retired. I'm 32 and I'm still working my dick off.
And we will never make as much money as he already has.
Should have been named Luke.
Should have. I don't know that was all that was stopping you from being, you know, an all pro linebacker, but whatever helps you sleep.
It was on my watch. It was. That was it.
Oh, God. Okay.
Quick thing, because it just popped in my brain, which is a dangerous thing to happen sometimes.
Uh-oh.
Did either of – I think Eric did, but Russ, did you ever do Farmington Rockets?
No.
Nope. I actually did not do Rockets.
So I did Farmington Rockets for a day. I went to one of their camps, and a little inside scoop, I got a nickname of Mad Dog Marcus.
Oh, man.
Because I had first 5 seconds of speed, and then I just, ran flat. Like Mad Dog Mark, I did Rockets for a minute. I thought you guys did Rockets.
I thought about doing Rockets, and I actually did not. I didn't start until Farmington. So, but again, we're waiting on. Yeah, no, you're fine. We're waiting on Den. Russ, I could have swore you played freshman.
No. I played football 1 year in middle school, and then I went. You know what? I do in fact prefer baseball and hockey.
Yeah, that's fair. Those are two good sports to prefer.
Wise man.
We have the Denver Broncos coming up. All signs would think now point to quarterback here or trade. They still have the ticker going. So while that happens, a couple of these guys came off the board. Now one of them is still not on the board, so he is fair game to claim in here. But you have Jamar Chase, you have Jalen Waddle, you have Pitts. Of the four, now including Devontae Smith, who has not been picked yet, of the four. Who is the leading tight end getter of the four in this upcoming year? Or touchdown getter. Sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. I was what very the hell confused. Did we just invent?
Literally, I left T.E. right next to Pitts, who was the last name. So I looked at T.E., not T.D. Who is the leading
getting
touchdown?
Some nice tight ends.
Yes. That's a very political way of saying getting ass.
Who's the leading tail grabber? Who's the leading touchdown getter this year?
Ooh. I'll jump on the landmine here. I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts because Julio Jones notoriously not taken advantage of in the red zone. For whatever reason, Atlanta just doesn't do it. So it would stand to reason that somebody has to catch them. Kyle Pitts, I guess.
All right. So what's left is Jamar Chase and Waddle.
You can take Kyle Pitts if you want, if you personally
take Rashad Bateman.
Yeah, Rashad
Bateman. You just want to say Rashad Bateman. I'm surprised it took you an hour and 20 minutes to wait till you said his name.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go Jamar Chase just to not take Kyle Pitts because I'm still mad at what Atlanta did. I mean, it worked out that we got Penei Sewell, but I'll go Jamar Chase.
I'm actually going to go Jalen Waddle. I like the connection with him and Tua. I've gone on record as saying, and I'm not saying it's Tua either, but I think Burrows is going to be good. I don't think Burrows is going to be light the league on fire good. I think having Chase to help him is going to be something, but I just see Tua played last year. Tua got a full year under his belt, mixing and matching. Now to give him a weapon who he knows he'll be on the same page with, presumably, I think that's good for them. I think Julio Jones just takes too many targets for Pitts to rack up. And again, goal line situations, Pitts is going to be great. But I think Julio Jones takes up too many targets, and he's such a breakaway player that I don't know how often this team's going to find the red zone with a playmaker like that. And Burrows and Chase, we'll see what happens there. But you're also talking about a Cincinnati team that has two pretty good running backs in Mixon and Giovanni Bernard. So they have a running game. I think Miami's still working a little bit on their running game.
Working on a lot of things down there.
That's true.
But even for Atlanta, they just tried this with Amari Cooper, didn't they? Wasn't he supposed to be wasn't Amari Cooper with Atlanta?
Amari Cooper.
But he got traded. Oh, am I showing my ass?
He was with Vegas before.
Yeah. And then got traded.
Yeah.
I take back everything I said, Ben. I'm done.
Big trade from a friend of the show, from Blake. Where are the trades? Russ, you've been saying it. We were promised some trades. We've not seen trades. And I have to agree. I put a – listen, let me put it this way, NFL. I put together a We Have a Trade ticker for a reason. I'd really like to be able to use it before we're done. Just saying.
These aren't the trades you're looking for.
Exactly.
This is what's happening.
That's what Emperor Belichick is doing to everyone right now.
He's trading. If I could, I've been checking my phone. I can't live bet a goddamn thing right now. They're trading up.
But can we talk about that? If you're Belichick, does this just hurt? If you're not a fan of Belichick, does this hurt? Because everything appears to be falling his way. It really does.
It always does. It is inexplicable.
It's just, I mean, he is legitimately, we're about to get the ninth pick. He's walking the podium right now. So that puts Dallas at 10. We are five picks away from what could be Belichick not having to do a thing. With the ninth pick overall, Denver Broncos select. Pat Surtain, corner out of Alabama. Another quarterback, just not off the board. Alabama having a pretty good draft thus far, so we'll see what happens there. But
sorry, look, Dallas.
Yeah, sorry, Dallas. I think Dallas.
We had that. All three of us had a corner going to Dallas.
Yep. Dallas has a chance still. You can't take them fully out of it because, I mean, we do still have Caleb Farley sitting around.
True. Yep.
Virginia Tech, so we could see back-to-back corners here. But, I mean, Denver, they seem to be all in on this defense, which means they obviously see something in Drew Lock. Not to take against Drew Lock, but they see something in Drew Lock. So this is a team that feels defense is what they needed.
Is it Drew Lock or is it Teddy Bridgewater? And
Teddy Bridgewater.
They said, hey, John, you were a great quarterback. You don't get to draft any more of those.
Yeah, that's fair. Fair.
It's Teddy B. Sorry, I'm taking in all the cubicle mess. I'm making sure I understand what's happening in Cubicle Central over here. Everyone's got their little pod.
I'm just going to start shuddering and calling into three meetings at once and saying, you know what? This really could have been an email. If you just say cubicle one more damn time.
This meeting could have been accomplished in an email.
Oh, my God.
Said every office in America.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad we did mock drafts because I think I have three right.
which three do you think you had? Because you definitely only have two.
Damn, I'm still only one and two. Great.
You still are 3 points. Eric and I are still at 9-8 with Eric in the lead. I thought we were going to do not great, right? Hey, maybe one out of every three picks or so. I thought that was going to go wrong because of a trade.
Right.
It did not. We're just right, regular dumb guys.
That's all right. I'm going to get, oh man, I had the pass taken Lance. I'm looking for some deep value right now. I'm looking for a really, really late first round pick to just shoot me up the board here. And I don't think it exists anymore.
Well, I mean, look, we have not seen a lot of what we honestly thought we were going to. We expected some trades here. We expected some movement in this top 10. Now, granted, Dallas is sitting in a position where it could happen. Following that, you have the Giants and you have Philly. You have three teams now who have no real need for quarterback. So if you're a team that's looking for a quarterback, you're kind of sitting here comfy saying, all right, let's see how the next pick or two goes. But on the other side, there are plenty of teams in this league that need other needs addressed. So if you're one of these teams sitting back, this is where you kind of got to jump on it because these are three teams that have just the same needs as you do, but you need to find a way to get to those players before they do.
I'm just waiting for the one owner to call somebody up and pull a J. Jonah Jameson and say, bring me Aaron Rodgers or bring me Mac Jones. Something, please. Can we have a little bit of fireworks, please?
I know.
Can Roger Goodell trip on stage?
Maybe he trips over the ugly-ass lazy boy that they put on stage.
I cannot believe they did that.
Terrible. By the way, Mac Jones just looks like a deflated stockbroker right now sitting in that back room. Like his phone just hasn't rang on the real estate deal that he thought was going to go through today.
Justin Fields is like, yeah, bro, deal with it. I've been doing this media circuit for 2 months.
This just in to give you exactly what you needed, Russ. Adam Schefter just tweeted that Dallas is likely to trade out of the number 10 pick. They have 4.5 minutes left to do so. So we will see what happens there. The follow-up I actually wanted to look into, and
wow,
I'm curious to see if it was a thing or not, but I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure Patrick Surtain played in Denver. So if so, we might have a father-son duo
well, there we go.
That played in – I could be wrong. I'm probably very wrong.
While you're looking unfortunately, that up, was it Surtain or bust for Dallas?
Could have been.
I read was Surtain was the lock for Dallas. Like,
could have been.
Jerry Jones too good.
He did not. His dad played in Miami and Kansas City, but good to see father and son. Cowboys have traded their number 10 pick to NFC rival Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia is now on the clock.
Trade back.
3:40 to go.
So they traded back two spots.
I don't know that they have. They haven't put that out there yet. Philly is still technically number 12 on the thing. I assume that's going to change. But at this particular moment, with 3.5 minutes left in this pick with the 10th overall pick, Philadelphia is now taken the 10th pick from NFC rival Dallas Cowboys.
They just traded it for 12 and a third.
12 and a third. Okay. Now, see, that to me doesn't seem like enough for a top 10 pick, but I get the reasoning.
But what is Philly moving up to? What are they afraid of the Giants taking or Dallas taking that they had to give something up? What the fuck are they doing?
You know what? can I say? I think I know where this pick's going to go. I really do. You have the Giants after who are in the need of the same position. I think this is Rashawn Slater. This is Rashawn Slater. Now, obviously, Christian Darrisaw from Virginia Tech is still there. So maybe Philadelphia just feels – because the Giants are a team that could use offensive line help. Maybe this is a team that just feels like Slater is a guy we have to get our hands on, and that could be a thing.
And they just panned to Dallas. There's no one sitting in their war room right now. It's completely fucking empty. There's no one there.
It's just Jerry Jones outside, and he can't get his key card to work.
Emergency meeting off camera.
how do you guys feel about that? I threw that out there as an opinion. Do you see this as maybe Slater as a guy they needed to get to, and they were afraid that he wasn't going to get past the Giants at 11?
It makes sense just from a scarcity standpoint that he's the next offensive lineman, and there's a perceived gap after that. So if you wanted to go get one, go get one. And the Giants are definitely a candidate to take one, even though they grabbed Andrew Thomas early in the first round last year. I had the Eagles pegged for a wide receiver, though.
Okay.
And it makes me wonder if that's what they're getting jumpy about.
Devontae Smith, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that they say, hey, it's Devontae Smith, and I can't wait any longer. I'll say categorically, I hate the trade, though. I hate giving up a third-round pick to move up two spots. It works out the wrong way most of the time in this one. You have to nail this pick, and he has to be a very good starter. Or otherwise, you're looking at the chance that maybe he would have been there anyways, and now you don't have a third-round pick. There's a fair amount of players that go on to start very early in their careers from the third round. Maybe not right away, but it happens fairly regularly. Kenny Galladay, for one.
I happen to agree. I don't see the point in giving up something that's so close to you. Like, if you're not getting Slater, you're getting Darrisaw. Okay, maybe if you don't get Slater, you don't go offensive tackle and you grab a different piece. Like, Philly, you were in a good spot. You could just sit still just a little bit longer, and maybe you don't focus on no tackle. Okay, that's fine. Like, that's okay. You don't have to give something up just to make sure you get that piece. I don't – good. Thanks. Thanks for making Jerry Jones have another selection, you Philly people. I love you.
Well, and maybe the answer is both, if we look at it, because – we got 10 and we got 11, so there's the third runoff. And if it's between Slater and Smith, hey, got to move up because there's a really good chance you get neither.
Now, just to give you perspective here, the Eagles have done some moving. The Eagles started when this was all slotted with the 6th overall pick, traded down to the 12th via the Miami Dolphins, and now have traded back up to 10 via the Dallas Cowboys. So this is a team that I don't think they really knew where they wanted to pick, but it's if you look at it, it's – I agree with you, Russ. I don't like the giving away another pick to just move two spots. But at the same time, this Philly team kind of did a smart thing. They moved back a little bit, knowing that they had many needs and likely all of them weren't going to be gone by the time they got to them. But then they said, hey, look, our need is really sitting there. I don't know if it gets past another division rival in the Giants. We need to do something to get up there. The thing that shocks me the most, and this might just be the football fan to me, and that I find it so insane to hear division rivals being willing to trade picks like that. Now, granted, yes, Dallas gets another pick, which means one more player they can get to use against these guys. But I just can't see the Lions going, hey, Green Bay, any chance we could take your 10th pick and we'll give you a little extra? Because I just see that being a laughing you off the phone kind of moment.
Well, counterpoint, and I think I can help you understand this. They might do it if the caveat was, well, sitting at 11 is the Bears. And I don't like you, but I might hate them. And the Giants are at 11.
You're getting into a little Ron Rivera Philadelphia Eagles matchup, given the win to help the division. I get you.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Which, by the way, I just completely blanked on who the Philadelphia Eagles former coach was. Who actually let that well?
Doug Peterson,
who let that win, or that win happen.
I just feel like when they just showed the graphic of 6-12 to whatever, it's like, just put in the quarterbacks. They just did that too.
All right,
it's
here we Wentz, go.
It's Foles. They're just flip flopping all over the place.
Cowboys trade the pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, and with that pick, the Eagles select. Devontae Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama. Not a surprise here. Rush, you called it. This is where I have to ask.
Why?
I don't see the Giants going after a wide receiver.
Hard agree.
I don't see Dallas going after a wide receiver.
Yeah, no.
So this to me just seemed like it almost seemed like panicking. Like you could have gotten him in 2 picks. The Giants have Kenny Golladay. They have Tate. They have Saquon Barkley. They have tight ends. This is not a team that needed a wide receiver. So really, you just leapfrogged someone for something that really wasn't a necessity.
Got an itchy trigger finger. Got scared on draft day.
So what? Was Adams and Slater both going to go to Dallas and New York? And they were just going to be all out of resources? Like, your alternative is still a great thing. I don't agree with it, but I'm not surprised that Philly looks like idiots right now. I mean, they got a great pick. I'm not going to deny them that, but they're also giving away assets for no apparent reason. And then just sprint
outside. I will say the underrated thing that I hate about this is you both just picked up half points on that one because you both had Devonta Smith going to the Eagles at 12.
I did too.
I know.
On the board.
But I also thought if you're going to make that move, it just to me it seems like you have to go up to get a guy that it has to go up to get a guy that you don't think will be there 2 picks from now. And for me, Devontae Smith is a guy that I think will be there 2 picks from now. So
exactly.
As you eye that, now we move on to the New York Giants. And I would be astonished. And I say this with all honesty. I would be astonished if this isn't an offensive lineman to try to help solidify that run game and help keep Daniel Jones standing upright.
It has to be.
It has to be
Rashawn Slater.
How much are the Chargers hoping that that's not the case? They are so close to Slater falling right into their lap.
It's very true. And that's another great spot. Like having Slater go to the Chargers to help out Justin Herbert, help that offensive line or help that offense get going too. He's a young quarterback who I've said I think will end up being the best in that draft class when it's all said and done. Now we do have it. Now we see Devontae Smith in Philadelphia. So now that we know where he landed, does anybody see it differently? Does anybody see him maybe going out there with Jalen Hurts, a former Alabama quarterback, and being that guy who goes out and gets the touchdowns?
I mean, yeah, I can see it. Somebody's got to catch it. They don't got a lot there as far as the receiving core, and it is.
Go ahead, you're good.
It's insane that we just keep reuniting wide receivers with their college quarterbacks. What's happening right now?
Give me 1 second. What's happening right now?
I got Josiah Anderson piercing into my ears.
I know.
We have back-to-back trades as the New York Giants have traded the 11th overall pick to the Chicago Bears. Guys, we could see a quarterback going off the board right here at 11.
They're going to take Darisaw.
This is an interesting moment. Now, I don't have the details of the trade yet. I'm sure as that comes out. Oh, maybe Russ does.
Yeah, Schefter just put it out. Pick for number 11. Next year's 1, 5 this year, 4 next year.
That's a lot.
Did not give up a first round pick this year.
Okay. So he's announcing it right now on the TV. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Chicago would be drafting at
20.
Okay. So you jump up 9 spots, but you get to keep this year. So you're talking about back-to-back. This is a chance to load up. But now with quarterbacks kind of being questionable here, I mean, I actually had Trey Lance going here. Obviously not an option. So now I feel it's a Mac Jones or Justin Fields situation. But now this is a real question. Now if you are New England, you need to get on the phone with a couple people and maybe solidify the fact that a quarterback's coming your way.
There's zero. I would put money on the fact that Justin Fields and Mac Jones would not survive to 20 because between Washington and Las Vegas, they would have scooped them up. So I think this is the right move here. Even though he's going to be playing in division, which sucks ass, this is Justin Fields coming into the NFC North.
By the way, if you're a Fields fan, it looks like the Fields family went for a – oh, nope, they're coming back. Justin Fields is going to get picked. He's just putting his phone down. But apparently no one was in the living room when this happened. The Fields family went for a walk.
Well, Nana, come on, let's go.
They heard Chicago and went, oh, no, I got to take a walk.
Here we go. The pick is in real quick before they announce it.
It's a nice couch.
I'm going to say Mac Jones.
Oh, Justin Fields.
Justin Fields. I mean, just based on the empty couch alone and the dog toy on the floor, they were ready for this. Here they come. I'm on a 10-second delay compared to Eric, clearly. But it's Justin Fields.
We'll see what happens.
I gotta see Kyle Trask twice a year. Kyle oh my Trask. God!
Sam Ellinger out of Texas. Oh,
nothing would make me happier.
Good pizza, bad decision making.
Oh yeah, what kind of pizza?
look, this is an interesting one for me because they need a lot. That's not a surprise to anyone. But I had him taking quarterback. I think, but again, I have to ask this question again. The move up's phenomenal, and you get that second first round pick. You get to keep your second or your first round pick. Why? There was no danger of a quarterback going off the board anytime soon. I mean, as I go through this, the Dallas is going to pick at 12. Then you have the Chargers, followed by the Vikings, who are not in the contention. You have to get past New England, Arizona, and then Las Vegas, followed by
Washington. The Dolphins.
I think Washington's a low risk. But
Washington has Fitzmagic though right now, so that to me tells me they're going to address something else for a little bit, and then we'll get to later picks. By the way, I'd like to point out, first time in this draft, we are not going to see Goodell make the pick.
He's just out. He's gone.
I think a former player or person will be making the pick for them.
Are you sure the chair just haven't absorbed enough material from people to become sentient?
Could be.
Recovery from COVID-19 by focusing on the critical issues of mental health.
The pick is in, and I'm very, you have to think this is a quarterback pick here. It'll be very interesting to see what they end up doing.
Throughout the pandemic,
Goodell is updating us on pandemic.
This is my amused face.
This is you should have put a TV in your office face.
Oh, it's there. I just don't want to look at Goodell.
And health. Carlos Nelson, who's behind me, has been doing.
Look, I mean, I'm still. This is two times. This is two picks in a row now where people have made trades. I just don't understand.
I can kind of see the quarterback thing, though. I can see both Jones and Fields not making it to Chicago. Totally.
Oh, I understand why the Bears came up. I don't understand why the Giants traded out for a first next year and a fourth and a fifth, and that's it.
Eagles
just got a first right now and a third.
Yeah.
Or the other way around. The Cowboys did from the Eagles.
And here we go with the 11th pick in the draft.
With the 11th pick.
2021 NFL draft. The Chicago Bears select.
Justin Fields,
quarterback out of Ohio State. Not really a surprise. We talked about this as a position where he definitely could go. And in all honesty, I said it earlier in the show, this kind of walks up into that position of this is Bill Belichick probably getting his Nick Saban disciple, quarterback who fits the system. And that might be why we're not seeing New England press the thing here. Chicago needed a quarterback, obviously, and I like the situation for him, guys, because he doesn't have to play this year. Let Dalton, let Foles get their butts kicked. Let him take some time to learn the system. build a rapport with the offensive weapons they have there, and let them have another year to build a little bit more for you.
God, I hope the Vikings just screw over Belichick and go grab what they don't need. They take Frank Jones to be the heir apparent to Kirk Cousins, and I would like that very much so. But we gotta see Justin Fields now. We gotta see Justin Fields twice a year.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled about that.
Great. Goff versus Fields. I know who wins.
The narrative coming out of Chicago is going to be absolutely bananas, though. After they traded up before to get Trubisky, and that absolutely blew up in their face. And then they go into Andy Dalton and say, Andy Dalton's going to be our starter. And then you trade up again to get Justin Fields.
That's a hot mess.
Good thing they got Deep Dish, huh?
Yeah, because Red Rifle might be not playing. He's just going to be a backup now. I don't know. Who do you think starts?
Red Rocket.
Yep. Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Is it Red Rocket or Red Rifle? Because I definitely just said Red Rifle.
Red Rifle.
Red Rifle. Red Rocket, I believe, is the
a euphemism for something.
Yeah. A euphemism for a genitalia of a certain dog.
Red Rifle, for the fact that I think they saw everything they could out of Foles, and I think you just hold on to him, one, because the money you're paying him, but two, because if Andy Dalton doesn't live up, you at least know he understands the system enough to be competitive.
Okay. Oh.
Now Aaron Rodgers has to leave the division now.
No, for real. For real, for real.
And it's going to be to the Patriots. I hope you're ready.
I thought about that, but I don't. I just, if you're assuming that San Francisco deal that I brought up earlier is real, I don't see how New England can muster the capital to get Aaron Rodgers into that building. I just don't see it.
No, there isn't an obvious way to piece that together. However, we talked about everything just turning into Belichick. Guy traded I think it was a fourth round pick for Randy Moss one time. Somehow he just finds a way to take advantage of people. I mean, it's like Steve Yzerman with the Red Wings, right? Like Jacob De La Rose for Robbie Fabry. You find a way and you just don't answer the phone when Belichick calls because he's good for screwing you over somehow. I don't know how, but he does it.
Do you think he's just sitting at home right now just judging these GMs? Even though he's not a GM, he's like, these fucking clowns. Minnesota, they're not taking Mac. Mm-mm. Like, he's just like, Mac Jones, I got you for exactly what your value was, and I didn't have to give up anything to get it. That's a prime Patriot.
Yeah, I do want to complete the set, though, and just throw this out there. Justin Fields is a nice, good, crisp pepperoni pizza. Why? Because he's been good for so long that everyone keeps forgetting about him, and he slips.
That's fair.
Dude's solid.
You know what? I'd like to contest that a little bit. Cheese is underrated. Like, cheese is like the kids' pizza. You forget about just straight up cheese. I love a good cheese pizza more than a pepperoni pizza.
Excuse me while I Google how to mute someone else.
No.
Just cheese, you psychopath. You creep. Just cheese.
No, he's muted. We're good. We don't need to listen to him anymore.
That is the scariest thing I've ever heard.
Just, you don't, cheese, dude, just cheese. But sometimes I'll get a couple different pies, right? Sometimes I'm like, all right, slice number three is just cheese. And that's what you consume. It's just cheese.
Okay. Before we get too far off the rails here, the Dallas Cowboys picking at 11. We all said corner or corner or bust. So you have to assume this is Caleb Farley here. As he's the left of the top three corners, he's the one that's available. Any chance we see someone outside of that? Any other position these guys? I mean, is this a good spot for Micah Parsons to maybe help that linebacking core?
Sean Lee just retired.
Sean Lee just retired.
Absolutely is a perfect spot for Micah Parsons to go.
Just to give you the perspective, they're putting it up here. 473 points allowed, most in franchise history. 158.8 rushing yards, 31st in the NFL. 5 yards per rush allowed, 30th in the NFL. That's the Cowboys' 2020 defense.
Very similar in ineptitude to the Detroit Lions defense, who hopefully later on can focus on some defense here, take advantage of some of this linebacker depth in the second round.
I could totally see them going Micah Parsons. Leighton Van Der Esch, Micah Parsons, that's your foundation on defense for Dallas here. But don't know. It's Jerry Jones. You can't always just think you know what Jerry Jones is going to do.
I don't think Jerry Jones back again. I don't think Jerry Jones knows what Jerry Jones is going to do most days.
No. I'm still perplexed at what Russ brought up against the Giants giving away like for no like I don't this between the Eagles and the Giants trading out, I don't get it.
I don't think anybody gets it. This is interesting. We've seen the trades we have seen, I got to say, don't make a lot of sense to me. They feel like former Detroit Lion trades, to be if I'm being honest. Kind of doing something for the sake of doing it with no real benefit.
It is kind of our fault, though, because we were just bitching and complaining that there was no trades.
Look, I'm happy.
Mom, can I have a trade? No, we have trades at home. Giants giving away this.
Yeah, no, I completely understand.
Did they abandon the couch? There's no couch anymore.
They may have given up on the couch.
Chair.
It was the Lazy Boy.
I'm terrified of what a certain adult entertainment website is going to do with that chair.
It's going to auction it off to the weirdest person in Cleveland.
I'll let you know what happens.
Baker Mayfield?
Here's the pick. Dallas Cowboys select. Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State. This is not a I want to say this is not really a surprise because this is a guy that checks a box, as we said. Lee just retired. They need a lot of help on defense. Justin is loving watching these people celebrate in these little cubicles.
There's no one celebrating.
They were up against – no, they're all celebrating right now. They were all right up against the TV monitor.
Ooh, one dude doing this. He's going, I love this. Fine. This is great.
Look, first linebacker off the board. This is a guy who I've said – you know what this looks like? This looks like when you go to like a PetSmart and they have all the dogs and different little playpens. It's just a bunch of people by themselves in these playpens. Like, it's a little scary.
You said cubicle wrong.
Cubicle wrong. Sorry. Yeah. Micah Parsons, first linebacker off the board. This is a guy who I saw him mock drafted to go as high as 3. I've seen him all the way down into the second round. It just depended on what you saw out of him. But this, as I'm watching the highlights here, this is a guy that he's going to go get the football. He's going to get to the football however you want him to. But he, unlike Jared Davis, he has the ability to get into the pass and at least disrupt. I'm not going to call him a cover linebacker because he's not that. But he has the ability to disrupt when disruption is necessary. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys, that's kind of what you need right now because you got to find ways to get that to let that offense sit for a little bit and to keep that defense on the field.
Was that just a sly Danny Bateman reference?
I almost said Danny Bateman. I really did.
There you go. When you would have said Danny Bateman, I would have said Rashad Bateman. It would have been a whole thing. It's good we avoided it.
Danny Bateman knew how to go get the football. Coach asked him to go get the football, so he went and got the football.
Yeah, and then he parlayed his playing career into a wonderful directing career in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Absolutely.
Am lost.
As well as personal security as Iron Man's bodyguard.
Yes.
What are we talking about?
Role he was happy to play. John Favreau.
John Favreau is Danny Bateman from The Replacements, a linebacker who later would go on to direct and star, I don't know about star, but act in the Marvel movies of Iron Man.
Is this Monica's boyfriend from Friends?
The MMA, the really rich guy who wanted to be the ultimate fighter? Yes.
Yeah.
Lockstep.
Way too far off topic here. Moving on, we have the Chargers. Now, we talked about it a couple picks ago. Loving to see it here. And his name's going to keep getting brought up until he gets drafted because I honestly believe this is a guy that needs to be off the board. Is this Rashawn Slater? Is this where we see a offensive lineman to help Herbert and to help this offense get going?
I'd be very surprised if it's not. That fits hand to glove for what they need there.
And if it's not Slater, it's Darisaw. Like, this is easy. Lock.
I wouldn't hate Darisaw, but
Darisaw's not a bad choice.
I never thought Slater was going to be here, I bet.
Oh, for sure. No, I had them going all the way up with Cincy. By the way, Micah Parsons just romantically hugged Goodell for about a solid 3 minutes.
What makes it a romantic hug?
It was I felt the embrace from Wes Bloomfield, okay? They took each other in chest to chest and held tightly. He was very happy that he just got drafted, which he should be. But he held on to Goodell. Like,
Like, you just hear the soft ballad plays in the background. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
No, Micah Parsons was very happy.
Well, yeah, he just got drafted.
Like, I'm surprised he didn't turn around and do the Titanic with him. Like, stop me around.
And I make fun of a lot because I think it's an awful dog and pony show that they do just for, like, the fact that we're doing this right now shows you the power of the NFL, that they can crap in a bucket and people are going to pay to watch it. But this is a really cool moment for a kid, so I wouldn't blame him at all if he says, Jack, lift me. I mean, no, enjoy it.
I know we're trying to be open here, but we don't need to hear about your weekends and what you order on pay-per-view. From time
paint
to time.
Paint me like one of your French girls, Eric.
Not what I was talking. You seem to miss the reference of him talking about people pooping in a bucket. So.
Oh, I missed that part. Hey, now. Don't yuck someone's yum. You be nice. You behave yourself, sir.
I mean, to be fair. We've been watching Lions our entire life. So if you're going to shit on me for about pooping in a bucket, I mean.
How do you spend your Sunday?
Yeah.
Watching the Lions. So same.
Yeah. The pooping in a bucket maybe takes 5 minutes. It's not a 3 hour long hate yourself fest.
Oh. God, you have to watch Adam Fox. It's terrible. It's really hard to
Jack think. Fox.
Justin, you asked for this. Now we have to leave this up here. Guys, for a great follow, at Mustin Jarkus, Justin Marcus's Twitter, and just for that comment, for the next week, you have to make that the header in your profile that you do not believe in special teams. That's your punishment.
Maybe I'll jump back on there and take a piece of Colin Cowherd again. He was the affection of my attention for a while. I'll do it.
It's God. You're going to learn about this guy when he's going to back-to-back-to-back-to-back Pro Bowls because he's actually good at kicking the football.
I've spent a lot of time thinking of how much time I can waste doing a project just to show how good he is, just for Justin to ignore it. And it keeps me up at night sometimes. I literally, in my notebook, one page just says, punting? Question mark? You've driven me to this madness.
Would you say that you lay awake at night in bed thinking about Justin?
What's up?
Hey, if it's on your mind, it's on your mind.
The pick is in for the Chargers. We were just waiting for them to come back from commercial. Again, it's pretty unanimous across the board, offensive linemen here. Let's look ahead, guys, for the next pick. It's the Minnesota Vikings, division rival. Again, a team that has some needs. Do we maybe see – look, one of their receivers went to Minnesota State. Do we maybe see in-division or in-state wide receiver Rashad Bateman here?
I think it's a little early for Bateman for me.
Okay.
There is the local product thing, and we've seen some crazier things. So he's the next best wide receiver, so you can't ever rule it out at any point that someone's going to take him. I like him going defense, though. The Vikings going and getting something there. That has been their bread and butter for so long. Kirk Cousins put a cap on that offense, to be completely frank with you. You've got Dalvin Cook, and that's what you're trying for, is Kirk Cousins not to mess it up and Dalvin Cook to stay healthy. You got to build up on the other side to be able to really have that work.
And Minnesota did what I'd like to see our Lions eventually do, is they built that offensive side of the ball quarterback last. Like, they built around Kirk Cousins before he showed up in a way. It's got to be Jalen Phillips for Minnesota. They got to go defense for sure. I told you guys the other day in the podcast, Minnesota is like a defensive team in my mind. Like, I think of Minnesota defensively before I think of them offensively, if that makes any sense. Okay. They're just, I don't know, like, they're a defensive team.
Even though former Michigan State Spartan Kirk Cousins is at the helm of that offense?
He was cute for a while. I'm good. I move on from my quarterbacks, man.
Quickly, as we've seen.
Hell yeah.
Very quickly.
By the way, Twitter bio has been updated as you requested, sir. So
there it is.
Attaboy.
I don't know. We have what? 13, 14, and 15, and we're out. We have three picks left here.
three picks left. We're going to cover the first 15. Obviously, listen later in the week. We will, or next week, and we will. We'll be recapping the whole first round of the draft. We're recapping the whole draft as the Lions have a couple other picks. And I enjoy this for the fact that we get to see, we get the idea of, imagine now if the next couple of years giving Holmes two of these chances in that first round to capitalize. It really does give you a lot of confidence.
It does. And hopefully he's got more in his bag for the rest of this draft. Again, five more picks to make. I have to imagine at some point he's going to trade down, because we talked about a lot when he got drafted, but he has, or when he got hired, geez, drafted. He has an excellent draft track record of drafting late in the draft. The first round picks has been kind of up and down, but the fifth rounds, the fourth rounds, he has hit some absolute studs there. So I'd love to see him get more swings starting in this draft.
You're going to have to repeat the question. I was not paying attention. I'm just going to be honest. I'm sorry. I got too many things going on. I got four screens in front of my face.
I'll repeat the question right after this. The pick is in for the Chargers.
Excellent timing. Thank you, Chargers.
Select Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle out of Northwestern. It's what we said. They needed to get a guy in there to help out, keep that up. Help try to keep Justin Herbert standing. This is a great pick. This is a guy who, in all honesty, he was mentioned 1A and 1B with Penei Sewell. So to be able to get this guy with the 13th overall pick is an absolute steal for the Chargers. And it's a pick I like, Russ. I like seeing these guys make the smart moves, maybe not the flashy moves. It just shows that you think you have the pieces in place, that if you can just get that five-man line built out, you have a real good shot.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I said it before, but hand to glove. Need to fit to best player available. This is best case scenario for the Chargers. This is fantastic for them. They had to be a team that honestly were thinking about, hey, what is it going to take to move up to get a guy like Slater? To fall in your lap, just like Herbert did? You got to be kidding me. Looking good over there.
Yeah, and this is why I wish Cincinnati would have gone this route, because I just, in my mind, and again, I know nothing about creating a football team, right? I don't see how you go wide receiver before you go offensive tackle. Like, you have to be able to let your quarterback do something with the ball before you get it to that wide receiver, and that's what San Diego's going to do here. And I know it makes sense. It's perfect. It fits. I had Slater going top 10 easily, and they got very lucky with what they got, and they'll enjoy it.
And now that we circle back to the previous question that Justin just wasn't listening to, I said that we see what Holmes did with that first pick. Now it's fun to know that we, for the next couple of years, we look forward to what he can do with two of those in the first round, assuming those are both there and we don't make other moves along the way.
For sure. It's a great start to what he's doing here. He could have gone flashy. He could have traded. He could have done anything he wanted. No, we're grabbing pieces that we need. They're going to be interior dudes that you're going to know who they are, but they're not catching touchdowns every day. They're not probably pushing a million jerseys, but they're important pieces that what we need. He will be protecting our quarterback, which will not be Jared Goff eventually. So I'm happy with it. I still want someone to like come on stage and be like, I'm going to get your kneecaps. Like, I got you. I know what you want. I'm going to deliver. Someone's got to bring that energy. I also, speaking of energy real quick, I do want to point out.
Oh, I thought we were getting a sponsor read. Speaking of energy.
5-hour energy. Did you know? No. Our war room still is the only war room that people were jumping up and down to celebrate the pick that they got. Everyone else, Dallas, taps, taps, taps. Right now, San Diego, taps, taps. Mm-mm. We celebrated our pick still. No one's done that yet.
Counterpoint. You bring a hot and sweaty into a kindergarten classroom, they're going to celebrate. You bring it out to me, I'm not going to. Hopefully time will tell that metaphor was awful. But something to keep.
Give you guys a little joy. We have a trade. The Minnesota Vikings have traded the 14th overall pick to the New York Jets.
Ooh. Jets coming up from 23?
I'm still waiting on the details. Schefter and Rappaport just put it out, so I don't know the details have been released yet. But as soon as they are, we will let you guys know. But Jets have a minute and 19 left on this clock, and we'll have to see what they do with it. But we got to kind of reshift here now. The Jets weren't expected to pick for another 9 picks, so it clearly there was someone they see still sitting on that board that they needed to get their hands on. I mean, I'll ask it right here. I mean, you got your quarterback. Do you maybe try to build out that backfield? Do we see that first running back come off the board?
Najee here Harris. At
number 14?
Najee Harris. That's what I put my money on.
That's rich for my blood for a running back this early. But they got to be coming up with something in mind. And he would be the best available. Usually that happens for one of two cases. One, you don't think there's going to be anyone of good quality at that position when you do get your draft, or you want the best one.
Yeah.
It fits one for sure.
So, Russ, real quick, do you think Bateman's at play? I mean, that's an honest question.
I mean, because...
Always at play. Yeah. Always at play. Yeah,
because in my mind, no. I think once we get maybe into the 20s, right? That's when you start to see, hey, maybe Bateman goes at any of those spots. That being said, it is the draft. He's the next best wide receiver available. So who knows? At any point, if you're at the top of the list of any position, you're on deck once we get out of the top 10, because teams will just take the guy they fall in love with. I don't think we see him for a few more picks, at least until we get to the 20s. Okay.
That's fair.
This might be the most secretive trade in the history of trades, because we are 2 minutes past the announcement and there is still no details released on what happened here. You have to assume it had to have been pretty big for Minnesota to be willing to, if nothing else, drop back 9 picks.
Yeah, it's got to be something enticing.
Do we maybe – I'm going to throw out a conspiracy theory here. Do we maybe think that with seeing Slater go fall off the board, is this maybe the Jets coming up to feel like they need to get their hands on Christian Darrisaw?
It could be that they just felt like this stabbing thing in their side that, like, I need to address defense and I need to do it now. And yeah, that it finally got to him that this is the spot to do it.
It's very possible.
Yeah, because I could see Darrisaw going, and I can also see Harris and ETM also going before they would even have a chance at any of those three. It's got to be one of those three. I'm going through who's left. I don't know what they would be pulling up that much for.
Well, I mean, as I look at the names that are left on here, you have Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech to help solidify that line. We're talking, I mean, Russ, you and I here at Quiddy Pay. If you really want to make a move at it. I mean, on the same side, he's been on Mel Tucker's board, or Mel Tucker, Mel Kiper's, Mel Kiper's board for a little while here. Vera Tucker, the offensive lineman out of USC, another big guy. You said Rashad Bateman. I'm going to pronounce it out. Jay does Etienne out of Clemson.
I know.
Or you have Najee Harris. This is a legit chance to make some moves here. There's always Tevin. I mean, if you like him, Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. So we are circling. We're just waiting for them to come back from commercial on this one. And as we move on to it, we have to be looking at Mac Jones at number 15. I just can't see it being anyone else. And if you're Bill Belichick, I think you just had to re-up the contract you made with Satan to be able to live the life you're living.
And also hurt my own arm patting myself on the back for mocking that one, right?
You know what I love? I love getting on Twitter and you see the people who clearly just don't like the Patriots. One of the top tweets I've seen so far is multiple people saying, please, Jets, take Mac Jones.
That would be excellent.
Just to keep him out of New England.
If there was one team, if you had to pick one team to do something like that, to just give a middle finger to the Patriots, it's the Jets, right?
Jets are absolutely the team that are going to make a move like this.
Do you think we'll die knowing that the Jets were never good?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I just want to make sure we're all living the same world.
Did I also answer too fast? Yes.
Yes.
I don't see it starts from the top, and again, we don't know what Saleh's going to be in New York. I wish him the best. I really wanted him here in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But if you have no front office help to have guys like Brad Holmes and that in the war room to guide this thing, you can draft, you're going to be drafting in the top 10 every single year consistently, and it's impossible to build a team that way because you're pretty much replacing these stars that wanted to move on to contenders. Seriously, who the hell did the Jets trade to make this happen? I need to know.
I can't believe we still don't know.
There's no reporting of it as of now, and it's
their Zoom feed got fucked up in the middle of their trade call.
Probably.
I mean, they're probably also in Chicago, but I'm pretty sure they're doing still this using Zoom.
All right, here we go. Ooh,
there it is.
Here we go. The 14th pick, the Jets select. Oh, here it is.
The New York Jets select Elijah Vera Tucker.
Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive lineman out of USC. So it was exactly what we said. It wasn't I wasn't Darisaw, but it was them saying they needed to come up and get that offensive lineman. Now, here's an interesting thing before I read you the details. Mac Jones is smiling, and he's on the phone as the New England Patriots are up next in the draft. Just for the details, Russ, I know you have that for us. So what did we get in exchange? What did the Jets get exchanging the trade?
Oh, no, I didn't have that. I saw that the pick was in. I saw a Twitter alert of the pick.
My bad. I have it for you. Jets have traded the number 14 and the number 143 for the 23rd, the 66th, and the 86th pick. And the Jets obviously take Elijah Vera Tucker. So the Jets have the number 14 and the number 143 pick going over to Minnesota for the 23rd. So the Minnesota Vikings will draft 23rd, 66th, and 86th for in exchange.
My eyes just go cross-eyed. At that point, it's like, okay. There's a lot of different numbers flying around. Okay, thanks. What's 60. The value? Like, what's a true understanding of value at that point when you're doing that many moves?
Well, there is a draft trade chart. And don't worry, when we actually do this, I'll have that for you, and I'll have the numbers so that we can actually look at that. But, it's an early third, right? 66 is. So you're trading down 9 spots to pick up a third and what was that, a fourth, 80 something?
Yeah. 88, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for trading down, but you got to – yes, you're getting more darts to throw at the dartboard, and that's the nicest thing I can say. If their board is stacked in a way that they think that the guy that Minnesota would have taken at 14 is going to be there at 23, then cool. Then you are – risking being the smartest person in the room. And if you're right, it pays off big. And if you're wrong, you're just another of the long list of NFL coaches and GMs that thought they were the smartest person in the room. I know which one I think is more likely.
By the way, Russ, you're going to want to check your phone.
Oh, no.
That was on there right now. You're going to want to check your phone.
Russ might be running out of the room here in a moment.
The pick is in for Russ.
The pick is in.
The pick is not in.
Obscure reference no one gets.
6.5 minutes left to go in their pick. The New England Patriots are on the clock. The pick is in sign is flashing, even though the clock is still ticking. So we'll see what happens there. Oh, no, the pick is in. I spoke a little too soon there. New England, obviously, you have to assume if this is anyone other than Mac Jones, Bill Belichick is no longer in charge in New England. As we see this pick coming.
With food insecurity a challenge for so many Americans, we've teamed up with Feeding America.
Oh, yeah, Russ, why are you still on the StreamYard with us? You might want to look at your phone, Aaron.
Started providing food to fellow veterans. He and his team have provided more than 5.6 million meals.
Oh, not. Let me ask this now, because now we are actually in this position. We will see Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones go off the board. Of those bottom three, Trey Lance, Fields, Mac Jones, who are we seeing starting first in the NFL?
Ooh.
Not Mac Jones.
Give you a minute to breathe on it. New England Patriots select.
As long as the Pats do pick him.
Yeah. Select Mac Jones, quarterback out of Alabama.
Tom Brady 2.0. God damn it.
So real quick, Mac Jones to start for you, Russ?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said early on, outside of Trevor Lawrence, I think he's the most ready to start day one. Probably not the one most ready to start in year five. I don't think he really has the ceiling, but God, he's going to go into the pick. He felt like a Belichick pick, like from the beginning, from my first mock draft. I penciled him in at 15 before I penciled in a pick at 3. It worked out exactly for the Patriots.
So that's a half point for some of us because we had a – oh, actually, I had Mac Jones I forgot I had Mac Jones going there. So I'm saying, though, because the half point fell if we took a quarterback, even if it wasn't that quarterback. So, okay, just checking. Jay, for you, who's the guy? Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Justin Fields, starting first.
Justin Fields.
All right, well, I will complete the circle, and I will actually take Trey Lance. I see Trey Lance is the guy. Real quick to sum this one up, I had it on here. Biggest surprise for you guys in these top 15 we saw?
The lack of blockbuster trade, I guess, is my biggest surprise. If I have to be honest, though, and or play it straight and take a pick, J.C. Horn. I didn't see him going that high.
It's a good pick, though. Jay, for you, biggest surprise?
Yeah, J.C. Horn was very early. I'm just going to bring it home. Us getting Penei Sewell was not something I thought I woke up seeing happening. So
yeah.
That's a great haul for us. I'm happy he fell.
I'm right there with you. Mine was the fact that we actually had a chance and we got to see Penei Sewell come to Detroit. I'm completely with you. To wrap it up, last question for you guys, and I will go first here because we don't get to do this very often. We don't get to actually be happy with what we saw. Give me a first round draft grade for the Detroit Lions. I'm gonna go with the obvious answer. It's an A. They took the right guy and they took the best player available on the board. This, if we could see this out of these guys for the rest of this draft, this is going to be a nice haul at the end of it. So, round one, and obviously we'll grade it at the end when we're all done here, but round one for me, it's an A for Holmes and, Campbell in their first NFL draft.
Go ahead, Russ.
Yeah, I'm tempted to just sit and let this one marinate. But my quick reaction is an A because I'm happy with it. Right. And it's, you did the right thing. And I don't want it to be like, oh, you did good. You did what you're supposed to. Here's an A sticker. Right. Like, but they did. And I feel good about that. So yeah, everyone gets A's today.
Doing the right thing absolves you from the player's mistakes. Okay. So when we take an Ebron or we take a Hockenson, or we take a piece that it's risky. Like if we went wide receiver, that's risk that is now put onto the management and the head coach. When you do the right thing, it absolves you of the risk. Now it's up to the player to actually perform and the team to develop them. I'm happy with it. They get a free pass with this. You could be a terrible pick. They're still fine. It doesn't fall on their heads. So it's an A.
Process over results, you're saying?
Yeah, without a doubt.
Love it. Well, that's going to do it for us here on night one of the NFL draft. Still a couple picks to go. Carolina or Arizona about to make their pick. But obviously next week on the show, we will recap everything, top picks we saw and what the Lions do. My thanks to these two guys going live with me tonight, Sergeant Salty Justin Marcus.
I'm happy. I'm a little disappointed I didn't get the live bet. I was going to put $100 on something. It didn't happen tonight because there's no live bets on the draft. So I got to hold on to my money, and I got to hang out with you guys, so I'm happy.
Statman Russ Ivanek, I don't know how you calculate all the craziness we saw tonight, but like always, you made us sound a lot smarter than we really are.
I just love that the real winner is Justin's wallet for having to sit this out. Well done.
And as always, I am your host, Eric Dorsch. That is one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting. Great job tonight, Lions.